welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's see. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big Old Brian. Nice noise.
Lisa Lampanelli is going to be on the show today, which is good because she's funny. Also, Cuba Gooding Jr. is going to be on the show. It was Cuba for a while, and then at some point it became Cuba, and I think it went back to Cuba, and now what people do, when you can't pronounce someone's name, you say it real fast. Oh, hey, it's Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah.
You don't commit to the Cuba or the Cuba. You just power through. Cuba Gooding Jr.'s over here. No one ever can stop you and go, you screwed that up because you blew through it too fast.
You know the name of a drink, which is half lemonade, half iced tea?
Mm-hmm.
I can't say it.
Mm.
So
Arnold Palmer, yeah.
Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer. Can I have an Arnold?
I don't know.
Give me that half lemonade thing.
I don't know why. I don't know why. Well, again, you could always order the drink that Jimmy invented, the Tiger Woods, which is half Diet Coke, half regular Coke.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I can kind of dig that, too, because Diet, like, regular Coke, I feel like, meh, I don't need the 13 teaspoons of sugar in my drink.
Right.
Also, the other hand, the Diet Coke's a little, you know. I'm not morbidly obese. Doesn't taste very good, you know. Let's say the 50-50 on that would be nice. But, there is a thing. There's a few things that are built into human beings that make you question your maker. Sort of like when you get nervous, you sweat.
Yeah.
And then when you think about sweating, you sweat.
Right.
And so most people are designed that if when they get nervous, their upper lip starts sweating, they'll go into an important job interview.
Ugh.
They'll be thinking to themselves while they're waiting in the room, please don't sweat.
Right.
Then they'll notice the first drops of perspiration gather on top of their lips while they're in the waiting room.
Yes.
By the time the hot-looking receptionist has said, Mr. Johnson is ready to see you now, Your little beads have turned to full-blown drip. So you do the first wipe. Now it's what you're thinking about. As you sit down in front of the guy, you're now dabbing yourself with your sleeve. It's on at this point. And the whole job interview is you sitting there sweating with your upper lip. And I thought, what good is that as a human being? Like, I understand the adrenaline rush you get when you almost get hit by a bus.
Right.
And then what ends up happening is some of that stuff just kind of carries over. Like, it's 2,000 years ago. I'm running from a puma, and I get the adrenaline surge.
Right.
But now I understand I'm watching an action movie, and I feel an adrenaline surge because that's just my old brain looking at the thing, seeing another guy run from a puma.
8,000-year-old brain.
Now I got my 8,000-year-old brain kicked on. But the stuff like where you know where you're at and you're sweating and you don't have to sweat. It's not you're just nervous. Or that thing where if you mispronounce someone's name, decide you can't pronounce someone's name, or always get something confused. Like when you do that thing where you're like, wait a minute, North Carolina or South? Oh, no. Yeah, North Dakota or South Dakota? Where the hell is the mountain with the presidents there, you know?
Right.
And if you decide that you can't remember, you always get it confused between which Dakota it's in, you'll be confused to the grave.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Just because you've decided where everything else in your life, somebody can tell you this is this and that is that. Get it? And you go, all right, I got it. But if you decided, geez, which one of the Dakotas? The hell?
It's Dakota Fanning, the car-burning little 9-year-old butt.
Which Dakota is that in? Then I don't even remember the name of the stupid mountain with the
Rushmore.
Rushmore, right. I always, that's my personal one.
Right.
I know it's in the Dakota. I always want to say North Carolina. Then I stop myself at the vent because now I've decided I'm screwing up.
Right.
So even when I'm right, I intervene and go, no, wait a minute. And then I screw that up.
Yeah.
What is that? Why do we need that?
I don't know. There are several. There's different versions, too. Somebody will always be Steve to me. Mm-hmm. Once I've decided they're Steve for a reasonable time, and then I'm standing next to them when somebody goes, hey, Mark, and they answer, yeah. Oh, my God, when was the last time I called him Steve? And blah, blah. Then you forget, and you go up and think, hey, you're not Steve. That's right. The best I That's can best. Do is that right. You're not Steve.
Yeah. Hey, have you met my friend, not Steve?
Yep.
Yeah, we're pretty tight. We've worked there for 8 years now. Oh, no, I know his name. His name is not Steve. That yep. much I do know. Yeah. I agree.
My sweat one is worse, though. I think I sweat when I'm nervous. I do, and the sweat, like you said, sweating will make you sweat.
It makes you sweat more.
Will make you nervous at a job interview. Just ask Nixon.
Right.
But
or Albert Brooks in Podcast News.
Yeah.
Right.
When I meet a new girl and either spend the night at her house or vice versa,
yeah.
I will sweat in my sleep, apparently.
Right. And mm-hmm. it's like a different kind of funk.
How do you get yeah. them out of that? How do they? Because I sweat enough where there's almost a sweat angel where I was sleeping. And it's like,
great
you gotta make
song.
Sure she doesn't roll into it and go, what happened to this guy last night? He started to spill.
Figure detoxing.
Well, yeah,
I always think about those names. God help you if you're in my life and you don't look like your name. Once in a while, you meet that guy. He's got a big cleft in his chin. He's got a perpetual 5 o'clock shadow. He's 6'3". He's 280 pounds. His name is Elliot. And you can never remember the guy's name because he looks like Jake.
Right.
And it's like you've decided that's no Elliot.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
if I've decided you don't look like who you are then not Steve. You're yeah. are just yeah. like what the douche man said. You have to either...
The douche man.
The like douche that. Man. You need to... Now, conversely, there are people that look exactly like their names. Once in a while... And I don't know, maybe it's your childhood. You show me a dark-haired girl with sort of olive complexion... And somewhere in her 30s, and her name is Jennifer, and I'll never forget it. She'll just look like a Jennifer to me.
Right.
If she was named after her grandmother, and it's a name I never heard of. Yeah. And soon enough, this hasn't really happened yet, but soon enough, because we always do, Whitey's going to start adopting the black names.
Right.
You see, this is the way it works. First, we take the music, we take the dance, we take the culture. Eventually... They're going to be girls that look like the aforementioned Dakota Fanning,
right?
Named Nichilla.
Oh, I am telling.
And we're not going to. I'll be looking at this little blonde girl, and her name will be Shaniqua, and I will never be able to move my mouth into a shape that will let that sound come out of it when I'm looking yeah. at her.
Right. Every now and again, because I'm dating a 25-year-old, but she's bright. She's a school teacher, so it doesn't bother me unless. She has this phrase, it's a generational thing, which she thinks will cover all idiocy on her part.
Right.
And did I tell you this, or was I just so ashamed
That's
I
hot.
Didn't tell you this? Because I was truly ashamed. I was explaining Steve Allen to her, and I said, well, he was Carson before Carson. And she stared at me, and I'm thinking in my head, if you say Daly, I have to break up with you. And she looked at me, and she said, Daly?
Oh,
but
yeah.
But then she bought this cool little toy, so I decided to stay. But still, I felt like breaking up with her over that. And when I told her, she goes, come on, it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
Johnny Carson is not a generational. That's like saying, oh, Napoleon's before my time. What'd he do? I heard he's a dessert.
Well, kids today,
yeah.
I don't...
It's hard to look at her in the face and chastising, oh, kids today, while things are buzzing and bzzing all around her. You got to go, okay, you're fine.
Well, when are we going to take those black names? You know, it's a matter of time.
Here's what I think. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's more likely.
Yeah.
It's more likely that people from impoverished communities take wealthy people names, like the names Amber and Tiffany.
Ooh.
Used to be Whitey.
Mm.
And then they were co-opted. This is in the book Freakonomics. I'm not making it up.
No,
but it's
no.
very common.
I was wondering why it was an interesting point. Yes.
Yeah, because I was going to teach you a little something right there, even though you've known Adam longer than I was going to say, watch this.
Well, I thought very seriously about disagreeing with you.
Rich man.
And I, you know what I said?
Hmm.
I said, first stop the shaking and the lip sweating.
Right.
What with the Jew?
No, you're right. It will go. It's going to go that way. I was making a joke. I don't think we're going to name our little white girls Shaniqua, but...
They are going to name little black girls Tiffany and Amber.
Somebody will do it just for a sentence. Johnny Knoxville will do it with his next daughter just to screw around, or one of the Zappa boys.
Yes.
We'll do it. But, yes, you are going to be standing looking at some chick who looks like she's 15, but she's 9. She has cornrows. She has 15 brothers and sisters.
Her name will be Madison.
And her name will be Madison or Tiffany.
It absolutely will happen.
It's going to be awesome.
That's the flow. That's how names go. The impoverished people take them from the wealthy people to whom they aspire.
But let me ask you this. So far, to the best of my knowledge, in recent years, like the last 20 years. Now, I know back in the day, a lot of Jeffersons and Washingtons and things like that in the black community.
You grabbed the name of the current president.
But in the last 30 years, haven't seen much of that in the black community. As a matter of fact, it's sort of been the opposite. We are going to forge our own identity by making up our own names or having our own names. I tend to think sometimes part of being poor and part of being uneducated is being stupid. And if you're saying that poor people or people that are on the other end of the economic whatever are part of it, I think the deeper you get into that, I'm finding, well, this is an interesting point. Let's see if we can stumble into something here. There was a time, and I'm not going to break this down along racial lines. I'll break it down along socioeconomic lines. There was a time when poor people of every color wanted to get in. They wanted to fit in. It's like you're poor. You make yourself a dress and try to make it as nice as the rich girl's dress.
Right.
You're poor. You have one suit, but the guy doesn't know it. So you put that one suit on and you try to go see if you can get a job at that company or something. Now it seems like poor people are angry and their feeling is kind of like, F you, man. I'm doing my own thing. I don't have to conform. I don't have to kiss your ass. I don't have to try to fit in. So they're going the other direction. Instead of taking the rich girl's name, they're going to make their own name up. Seems like people are a little more defiant these days.
Well, I think it's interesting. I happen to see that in full swing in kind of reverse. You know, I'm doing this show that involves kids and show business stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And off the cuff, I decided to teach them a lesson because my agent and the head cheese of the whole production company, the guy I work for and everybody there works for, were standing side by side, and I looked and I saw them, and I said to the kids, here's a lesson about show business. If they're wearing a suit and tie that costs $2,000,
yes,
they work for you.
Mm-hmm.
If they're dressed like they're homeless, you work for them. Because the head of the network was in cutoffs and frayed things and had a little soup on his shirt.
Rich people have seen this trend, and they're trying to sort of dumb themselves down. They're talking dumb. They're dressing dumb. They're driving dumb.
Right.
Used to be if a guy was rich, he pulled up in a Rolls Royce. Yeah. Now he's pulling up in a Prius. Used to be if a guy was rich, he had spats and a top hat. Now he's going to Old Navy, and he's pulling up in flip-flops and a cargo shorts. He dresses like Matthew McConaughey.
Right. Sure.
There's that. There's these people saying, don't hate us. We're going to come down.
Yeah.
But also, it seems like poor people are now angry instead of envious. Well, I think they used to be envious. They used to say, hey, man, I want some of that. How can I get in on some of that? How can I make myself a part of that group, or at least attempt to sort of blend into that group? Now it's like, hey, F you, Richie.
But do they not still want what Richie has? I know I do.
They want it, but I believe in the past the idea was, I want what he has, so I'm going to get the education, or I'm going to get the job, or I'm going to do the work, or go to the schools, or do whatever it is that he did so that I can get some, as opposed to now, which is, I want it, I'm not really going to do anything about it, and I resent him for it.
And to your point about names and uniqueness, this Freakonomics book also makes the point that while names do move from wealthy white people to more impoverished cultures, there are some cultures, especially, poor communities, where it's a matter of status to have a unique name. Mm-hmm. So he did this study in Freakonomics, and there was like, you know, 50 spellings of the name Jasmine.
Yeah.
You have to have your own spelling.
When you God have to ask, it. How do you spell two Cindy? And I have to every time because it's a Y or an I.
Yeah. I'm even mad that there's a Kirk and a Kurt.
Yeah.
Do we really need that?
Do we need Eric to have two letters at the end? Both consonants, thank God. But you pick one.
All right. Now you're getting me angry.
I know. We're gonna
take a break. Names, yes. I have a few feelings. I have celebrities I don't think would be celebrities if they didn't have cool names.
Man, that's interesting. I never thought of that.
You wouldn't know who Parker Posey is if
oh my gosh.
Her name was Jane Abramowitz.
Yes, what about Cash Warren?
No way!
What about Big and Rich?
Wait a minute. Who? I think that's two guys.
I don't think I would know either.
Yes, Cash Warren. Cash Warren never gets inside of Jessica Alba's pants if his name is Randy Bort.
Nobody in Port is going to get anybody past
what
the
high school with. You
that's
know
a
what
real
I mean?
Guy.
Yeah.
It's so dangerously close to my wife's attorney's name that I really want to have a lot of fun. It's one letter off. And I really would like to go right now. That's cool.
Yeah, I will give you a short list of celebrities I'm sure are only celebrities because of their name, number one. Also will tell you, and you can tell me, as a matter of fact, you guys jump in on any of this stuff. Tell me the names we don't need. I certainly know we don't need an Andrea,
yes.
An Andrea, and an Andrea.
Kirsten, Kristen, need... Kirsten.
Kirsten, another... Kirsten.
Oh, my God. I have all of those
of
in my
Christ.
Life.
I can't keep it straight.
I have all of those in my life. Kristen's my wife's best friend. Kirsten's an old friend of mine's wife. And Kirsten is somebody else in my house that I'm unsure of.
Thank you. Now it's asleep tonight.
I love to go to Danny's house. Hi, who are you? I'm Kirsten. Do you know Danny? No, I don't.
He just can't tell I'm not one of the Kirstens.
How long have you been here? 8 years. Is Danny aware you're here? Sometimes. Are you hungry? Yes, very. Are you going to the kitchen? All right, we need to take ourselves a break. I want to hear from you. What names are you done with? What is... I'm telling you, a guy I worked with went to school in New Jersey with a large woman of color, and her name was Nichilla.
No.
Yes.
Because it's a unique name.
I never stop laughing when I hear about it. Someone, a large, heavyset woman of color, and her name was Nichilla. And who cares what her last name was?
Yeah.
You could never make up for Nichilla.
If you're only a couple letters off from Nutella, which is possibly one of my favorite foods, it seems like it could drive me crazy.
Oh, there's a bunch of stuff you're just a couple letters off, and
yeah,
your name
true.
Is Nichilla. Point is, what are the names... What are the names of the celebs? And then what do we need to consolidate? And again, what I'd like to do with names is the same thing I'd like to do with the names of the cities. We're on in Portland, Oregon. We're on in Portland, Maine. Yeah. And I'm trying to get us on in Portland, Louisiana. Just because I'd like to hit the trifecta.
Nice.
Portland. The point is not enough room in my life for all those Portlands and confusing. Don't need the Kirks and the Kurtz.
Right.
Let's narrow it down. The Kirstens and the Kirstens and the Kirsties. Let's just narrow it down to one. The one that makes me want to go on a killing spree are the Terrans. This is the name where you say your name and every single human being goes, oh, nice to meet you, Karen. And you go, no, it's Taryn.
And then I want to kill that person for thinking I did them a personal offense.
Right.
So it was an accident.
Right.
I heard Karen.
And it doesn't work on old people. If you tell my grandma my name is Taryn, nice to meet you, Karen. No, it's Taryn. I said Karen. That's what you're going to get. It won't even compute. For me, it does compute, but you'll wish it didn't. We'll take a quick break. Tell us your names next.
Here's program director Jack Silver with a look at today's show.
Booyah, bitches! Today we got the Queen of Mean, comedian Lisa Lampanelli. Gaze Man's gonna get all fired up with This Week in Rage. From the Cincinnati Bengals, All-Star Chad Johnson. And Oscar winner Cuba Gooding Jr. Holy crap, peeps! Two black celebrities in the same show? Someone hand me that EOE file. We just complied for the year. And somebody get some restraints for Lisa Lampanelli. Hey.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, I just thought of, we're talking about names that are driving us nuts. Everything drives. Oh, yeah. Dutran had a plug. I forgot about that.
That's not important. I looked over and saw Bill's hair and kind of freaked out. He looks like Bill's dad.
Yeah.
Some of the grown-up stuff. I do. I have a plug. What the hell?
Bill got a little extra dab of dippity-doo last night from his guy pal.
Was it at Mr. Fister?
I happened to spend most part of the day at the Hustler store yesterday, and we bought a certain movie. Mm-hmm. And now he reminds me of that.
Well, the moral of the story is, even during the dog days of summer, do not stand under the ceiling fan at Mr. Fister.
The more you know.
It is a vortex.
Nice call, Corolla.
It's like a water spout, but much different.
Do you see any way to work this into paintball from here?
I think we could do it.
Jump
in. Yeah. Matter of fact, now that I think the word splatter, I'm good.
As a matter of fact, if I was playing paintball, if I was running a paintball course, I would say this. They do this in these other games. This will tie us right to the paintball. I would say, look, you got your red team, you got your blue team. You guys are going to play capture the flag. These things are going to sting a little, but there's going to be one mystery ball that's filled with what's in Bill. All right? You get hit with that, baby. You're a lot more than out of the game. You understand?
We're going to remove a consonant from capture the flag.
Yes.
We're taking that out.
The secret mystery juice in the one white paintball, I would be shoulder rolling across the parking lot. Normally, not a lot of effort, jogging, half speed, firing the gun in the general direction. All you have to do is introduce the one white ball.
Right. You're all getting an A-plus until you get the ball filled with B negative.
That's right. It is that you've just upped the ante to this game to the point where there's hand-to-hand combat. I'm actually butting guys with my rifle.
The back of your
Carl is squared off. He's out of ammunition. He's taking on the team. All right, Bonaduce, man.
Oh, God, if you want to come out and play now, you are quite the guy. It's August 18th. Here's what's happening. I'm taking on the Opie and Anthony Show. They got a Danny. We got a Danny. I'm looking for a squadron. I don't know how many that is. But if you want to join me for a paintball war, just log on to AdamCarolla.com so you can brawl alongside me and some 12-year-olds and whoever else is out there. It's powered by war. Arriving in theaters August 24th, starring Jen Lee.
All right. We have our names to get to. But let me just say something very quickly. You brought up Opie and Anthony. Somebody was, or more than one person was calling, saying from Opie and Anthony, saying I was a douchebag. Here's the thing that's very disappointing. We always talk.
I've been drunk. I don't usually call when I say it. I turn to Amy and say, what a douchebag. And I go back to what I'm doing.
We always talk about how disappointing this profession of radio is, how almost everyone you work with is like angry and quasi-retarded and just bitter and negative and wear it on their sleeve.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's no problem with it. Everyone in radio hates everyone in radio. Everyone who works on the same station hates everyone who works down the hall from them. It's sad and scary. I don't understand it, but that just seems to be the way it goes. Somebody called up yesterday, or I guess more than one person called up and said, oh, Opie and Anthony were saying Adam Carolla was a douchebag because his name came up when during Bonaducci's paintball thing over there. Opie and Anthony do a morning show on the East Coast and other parts of the country. I said, well, that's interesting because I met Opie and Anthony one time and one time only to the best of my knowledge. I was in New York just after 9/11 with Jimmy. We did the Hugh Hefner roast. It was literally like 2 weeks after 9/11.
We were just talking about it. So you did the thing with Gilbert Godfrey, where people started yelling too soon, too soon?
Yes. He did 15 minutes on how funny it was when the planes flew into the World Trade Center. 2 weeks and two blocks away.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe what I saw. I just saw this.
He wasn't addressing a bunch of mountain men in Plentywood, Montana, white separatists, folks that were stockpiling munitions and beans. Right. He was talking to a bunch of Jews in New York about how funny it was that the planes hit the towers. That was good times, guys.
You got to give him balls, though. You got to go balls of steel on it. Not necessarily funny balls, but you got to give him balls.
Did you turn up the crickets on that?
It was great for everyone that went before him. It was bad for everyone who had to go in after him. Talk about warming up the crowd.
Yeah, thanks so much.
So we were in New York about 2 weeks after we did, after that 9/11, whatever, Hugh Hefner roast, and then there was an after party. And it was some trendy club, and we all did our thing, and everything went great, and we all went out to have a drink. And when we're at this after party, Opie or Anthony, came up and introduced himself. He said, "Hi, I'm Anthony, Opie and Anthony. We do a radio show out here. I think they're doing afternoons. That time, great job. Saw you do your thing tonight. Big fan." And, you know, I'm that way with anyone who's nice to me. I'm
right.
Just as nice. If you come up and you're an a-hole to me, I'm a standoffish prick. And if you come up and you're nice, it's right back at you every single time.
Absolutely.
Also, I love radio guys. I just dig radio. So
good,
I like talking
guys.
To other radio guys. You tell me you're interested in radio and I'll have a talk with you.
Really?
I just like radio and I like people that are interested in radio. So Opie and or Anthony or both came up to me and we talked. We had a drink and how you doing and thanks a lot. You were great tonight. Fantastic. I gave them the right back at you because Kimmel had done their show. I hadn't done their show. But I said, Kimmel does your show, and he always has great things to say about you guys, and he always enjoys it. So mazel tov, and a little back and forth. And I even think at the time we had the same radio agent. So we talked about our agent that we both had. And fantastic, and he says great things, and blah, blah, blah. Another couple sips of the cocktail. And we talked for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. They're thinking about coming out to L.A. and doing this and that, giving a little insight about TV and what have you. That was it. Adios. Nice to meet you. Goodbye. That was the only interaction I've ever had with Opie and or Anthony. Fine. I don't know what's wrong with radio people that when someone brings my name up on the air. Now, these guys are not this way off the air. No one's the way they are off the air. But when they bring up the name on the air, they got to go, yeah, guy's a little bit of a prima donna. Guy's kind of a douchebag.
Yeah, no,
we met him. We met him at you know, and he was kind of whatever. Look, I remember the run-ins I've had with people, and I remember the bad blood, and I remember the weird and uncomfortable silences and the strange looks and the stuff you could cut with a butter knife. This was cocktail. Nice job. Right back at you. Kimmel says hi. God bless. Oh, Bob Eatman's your agent? Hey, he's my agent. Fantastic. You want another drink? That's
right.
That's all it was. I don't know how that translates into douchebag.
Well, what do you
think?
But
that's the beauty of radio.
Right. Absolutely.
Is that just it? Is that they're radio people? Or do you have some other theory?
Radio, well, here.
You can do, if I may
sure.
just inject, watch this. Hey, Adam Carolla. This guy is such a douchebag. I met him one time at a party. This is not also the guy from The Man Show, the guy from Loveline. I got 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour if I want, on what a douche Carolla is. Now here's the other one. I met Carolla. Me too. Nice guy. I'm done.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. So
it makes your job easier if someone's a douchebag.
It's twofold. Right. It's never cool to go, oh, that guy's a nice guy. I think he's funny. That's not cool. And it's short.
Right.
Right.
You can kill a break talking about what a douchebag a guy is. The other thing is it's a mixture of that. It's funnier. It's just a better. Look, when we talk about songs we're going to pick out for Music Monday, yeah. We always say pick some ones you don't like because that's funnier. The ones you do like, nothing funny about that. So I understand.
Yeah.
I do the same thing. I talk about celebrities I don't like. I don't talk about celebrities I love because not as interesting, not as funny. Can't kill as much time. But also, there's an insecurity factor. Everyone in radio is horribly insecure, and they don't realize that when they talk about other people the way they do, it makes them seem more insecure.
Yeah.
That's the part they don't realize. I don't even know if they did call me a douchebag. We just got a few calls saying they did call me a douchebag, so I suppose they did. I don't care. It's just one of these things where I think, how sad is this profession where everybody has to hate each other who does the same profession? It doesn't really exist in other professions. There's a professional.
It exists in humanity.
Exists in humanity, and there's always a little competition.
Yeah.
But I don't even claim to know almost anyone we compete with. I don't know anyone else's product.
Actually, I do. I know them all personally, and they're all okay.
I can't.
Boom, done.
They're done. Right.
I know Mark and Brian. I know Kevin and Bean. I don't know. I know Lisa on the morning show at my old station.
Yeah.
I know them all pretty well. But
that's
the fact
one. That's one market.
Right. Oh, right.
Yeah. And I don't know Opie and Anthony's show. I've not heard the Opie and Anthony show.
I've only heard it when I'm on it.
I've lived out here and I've never been on it. I just think it's sad that everyone has to call everyone a douchebag in this poor business of ours. And even the guys I met who I was super friendly to and met one time, how that somehow comes back with douchebag.
I don't like that. And we don't know if it's true or if it's not, but I think Danny probably agrees with me. But I have that thing where the enemies of my friend are my enemies.
Well, I don't
ass about my boss.
I don't
hate you.
I don't even know them. That's the whole thing.
Either,
I've never heard their show, and I've met them one time 5 years ago or more drunk. That's it. I think it's probably because me and Howard Stern get along.
Right.
And Howard Stern gets along with nobody on the air. I mean, look, he's the tip of this arrow. He's the leader of the pack of hating anybody. I'm not going to try to defend Stern. He hates everybody's on the air. Everyone's on the air hates him. I magically get along with Stern. I don't know why he decided not to hate me, probably because I was on at night, not on in the morning.
Yeah.
And now maybe people hate me because they hate him and what have you.
Oh, don't put yourself down. There's thousands of reasons to hate you.
It's a decent point.
You know what I was going to say when you said it's part of our job and I said it's part of humanity?
Yeah.
Because I was on Stern, his radio show, and I couldn't figure out what was going wrong. I was also on his TV show simultaneously at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
About a week ago. But it was a film camera, and I didn't notice, and I kept saying, he kept talking about my girlfriend. I said, yeah, that's her right here, and he wouldn't reference her. I realized he's not seeing anything. It's not live on his TV show. But anyway, people went out of their way to send that tape to my wife.
On the
other hand, there was a thing on the chat board about Amy that was really mean, and people that she knows personally and calls friends went out of her way to say, you should see what they're saying about you on the chat boards.
So
people do it like crazy.
Yes.
I had the conversation with the wife about Howard last night. I guess it aired. And she has 5 copies of the tape from people who claim to be our friends when it's only hurtful what Howard said.
People are evil, pure and simple.
Yes.
That's a good
Friday
thought.
They should all
thought.
Die but a few of us.
All right.
And people that listen and care.
Now I promise to get back to what we were talking about, which is names. Names, weird names, the redundant names, the misspelling, the ones where there's the Taras and the Taras, they're spelled exactly the same. You'll never pronounce it right. I'm convinced people name their kid Tara and or Tara.
Right.
And when the kid turns 5 and the parent sits them down and says, look, you're named Tara and Tara, sweetie. Here's what you do. You're named Tara to anyone who calls you Tara, and you're named Tara to anyone who calls you Tara. Now, if you like the person, give them a pass. They call you Tara, say yes.
Right.
But if they're an authority figure or your boss you don't like or school
or
teacher, every single time they go Tara, you just say Tara. It'll work out. And you could have Donald Trump could be talking to the lowest guy in his mail room of his crappiest business and walk in and go, hey, listen, Tara, we need, and she could go, it's Tara. And he'd go, I'm sorry, excuse me.
Yeah.
That's how that works. When you screw up someone's name, there's no hierarchy. There's no generals and no privates. The private, it's the only time the private gets to yell at the general. You're wrong. Correct it next time. And the general will apologize. I can't stand it. I used to work with someone named Tara. Don't call me Tara, goddammit. And every time she would correct me, I'd go, who cares? Go give me some coffee.
Get on your knees.
I'm with you with the spelling because my name's Teresa. There's no H, but most people spell it with an H. I've never once corrected anybody. I don't care.
Yes.
I spell it T-R-S-A.
Fine.
That's how I can get to Teresa from there.
All right.
Teresa.
So when we come back, we will delve. Sorry for that little sidebar, but we will delve a little paintball, although I do like it with the magical white ball.
Yeah.
It's upping the ante. We'll take a quick break. We'll delve back into these names next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
You hang me, hello.
If you said Jerry Maguire.
You had me at hello.
You're correct.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I just thought of my one of my number one names where the chick wouldn't be hot and wouldn't be working if she didn't have a cool name.
Who?
Minnie Driver.
Oh, yeah.
Not cute, not hot.
No.
Barely even cute, yet people are attracted to her name. We're just talking about names. There's people. There's your Jessica Simpsons of the world. They're on their own.
Right.
Neither
yeah.
here nor there. Straight first name, straight last name. Then they're horrible names. You've never heard of those people because they don't get where they need to go because their names are horrible.
Unless they're Engelbert Humperdinck.
Right. Unless they go super horrible.
Yeah.
Right. Or, and then there's your Paris Hiltons and your aforementioned Minnie Drivers, who I believe their name really, not the famous name,
yeah.
just the cool name, gets them where they want to go. I've had a ass full of not only names that are spelled the same, but names that sound the same, but aren't the same, and you're constantly being corrected. Drew and I used to go on these college tours. We would sign books, and it'd be the same thing every time. Oh, Megan, M-E-G-A. Oh, no. This is M-E-A-G. It was a different effing spelling for every effing name. And you couldn't even get by with Cindy anymore or Kathy or anything. As soon as you start, oh, Kathy, C-H... C-A-T-H-1. Oh, no. It's K-A-T. There's three E's at the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, people. Let's do something about this. So, the Megans and the Megans, we don't need that. How about just the Laras and the Loras?
Yeah.
Do we really need a Lara? And then Laura is just a sort of East Coast pronunciation of Laura anyway. And then some people go with the Lara.
I used to work with one, did middays. Lara Scott.
Lara Scott. And then the spellings, the Erics. Oh, it's not the one with the K. It's not the one with the C. It's the one with the CK.
All right, and if you're talking about Lara and Laura, and what was the other one?
Laura.
Okay, what season salt do I use?
Lowry's.
Lowry's. Well, yeah. What is that?
I don't know.
Stop that.
Karen Cara. That's another one of my good ones. But in the guys, the Sean. The three different spellings, and then then there's the S-E-A-N, Sean, and then the C-H one. And then the one that drives me nuts is the guys who spell their name is Jeff, and they do the G-E-O.
Yeah.
I hate that Jeff.
Mm-hmm. I'm currently speaking to a John. Want to take a shot at his name?
How
you spell it?
Well, that's
John.
The one you'll never get, because if I go J-O-N, they put the H in there.
No. G-A-I-N.
I hate him.
In my life right now.
I hate the Stevens with a PH. And by the way, that's a Stefan half the time, isn't it?
Yeah. Either way, just wear a rainbow flag if your name's Stefan.
If your parents gave you a confusing spelling, that's not your fault. But if you're going to take umbrage when people mispronounce it, that is your fault.
Thank you, Kathy.
I dare you.
Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y.
My son, Count Dante Jean-Michel Valentino Bonaducci. All stupid-ass names, but spelled exactly as they sound.
Good.
I gotta say, I know a Kathy.
Yeah.
Who spells her name K-A-T-H-E-E.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
And I know, but I like her. But once in a while, because I'm so easily bothered, and then once I get bothered, it's like somebody took an infected kernel of corn and put it under my saddle. And I'm the horse.
Right.
Wow.
It stays with me.
Yeah.
So it'll be one of these things where I think... Where we're playing some game, you know, you're playing some Pictionary or something. You're doing that thing where you grab a piece of scratch paper. You're like, all right, Don, Kathy, Adam, and Lynette. All right, you ready? Let's get started. And then she'll go, it's not C-A-T-H-Y, it's E-E. And I'll go, yeah, but I'm not going to post this on my...
It'll not be published.
I'm not going to publish this. We're just the names, just enough so we can keep score here. I'd prefer if you put the... We're good the way we are, Kathy. Okay?
Give me some coffee.
How about some coffee, Kathy? Well, I'd just prefer to have it. Now I'm bothered and bugged, and the rest of the game I'm screwed up because every time she gets a point, I have to look at the name with the two E's, and I can't let it go.
Let's play some games.
Kathy with a Y.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this phone line? Are these phones still screwed up? I guess they are. Kathy?
Yes.
What do you got for me?
Well, my husband's name is Dwayne. There's D-U-A-N-E, D-W-A-N-E, and D-E-W. D-Wayne, Duane, and Dwayne.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm sure there's somebody in the world with a D apostrophe, Wayne.
Oh, there's a lot of guys in the NBA. One
and
guy.
I'm Kathy I-E.
Are you right?
You just corrected us, though. What did we tell you?
Goodbye.
I'm Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
My parents called me Kathy, C-A-T-H-I-E.
Goodbye.
And when I got turned
30. All right, I'm angry. I've had enough.
When I went to my said.
Let me explain.
Yeah.
It's the same thing when I start screaming about the streets where they have the Canyon Way and the Canyon Place and the Canyon Avenue and the Canyon. They put them all right next to each other.
Yeah.
Here is why man invented names.
Yeah.
Man invented names so we knew who and what the F we were talking about.
Yeah.
You see, the first guy lived in a cave whose name was Mike. He didn't want to live with a guy named Tobar and another guy named Tabar.
Right. Yeah.
Because that was confusing. Because when he said, I have to kill Tobar,
yeah,
there was confusion as to which guy he should club because the other guy's name was Tabar. We need names that are different than the names so that we know what the F we're doing.
I'm with you 1,000% on this.
Yeah, I think, though, do we have time to talk to this self-hating Stefan?
Yeah, where is he?
He has the decency to hate himself. God bless you.
What line is he on? Oh, seven?
Yeah,
yes, seven. Stefan with a P-H. Stefan or Stephen or Stefan? Oh, wrong side of the thing. Hold on. There we go. What's up, my brother?
Big fan, Adam. You're way better than Ricky Rackman.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a compliment, really?
It's Ricky is R-I-C-K-I.
Yeah.
By the way.
You're great, Adam. I like you so much more than leprosy.
Leprosy. E-M-L.
So you got my name Stefan. Bad enough that I'm named after every gay hairdresser in Santa Monica, but there's 10 different spellings.
People right.
Stephen, it's Stefan, Stefano, I'm Jack. Stefan, oh, I went through fourth grade in Southern California being known as Jack Stefan.
Yes, the plumber.
The plumber
local
guy.
Commercial.
Yeah.
So are
Jack
you are you Stephen now?
No, I'm Stefan. Actually, no. You know what I did is I joined the military so I'd never have to hear my first name again.
Good idea.
Tardman, to the front of the line! Drop and give me 20, Tardman.
No.
Tardman, your last easy day was yesterday.
I feel like they go, hey, Stephanie.
Oh, yeah.
You're so ugly, you could be a modern art masterpiece.
Ah, throw out your last name anyway, Stefan.
Oh, you couldn't pronounce it anyway. It's got 10 different characters. They just called me Roadkill.
Very, very
like
simple.
Him.
All right, we, geez, I feel like we could do an entire morning on this. Let's put this in the hopper, pop in the Tupperware, Mike. Let's bring this out and dust it off maybe on Monday. Take a quick break. We got a lot going on. We got Cuba / Cuba Gooding Jr.
Who may or may not have knocked me out.
We got, we'll find out if he knocked Bonaducci out. We have, Liza with a Z. No, we have Lisa Lampanelli coming in here. We got the news all coming up next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
Didn't know you were even on the show this morning.
Neither did I.
Lisa Lampanelli in studio. Many questions to ask her. Did a great job on the roast of Flava Flav just a few weeks ago. I think that's coming on, though, in
it's
the next
Sunday.
Next day or so. But first, Cuba. Or possibly Cuba. I got to figure this one out.
I'm going Cuba on this.
Like I said, you just Cuba. Say it fast and you'll always be all right. Cuba Gooding Jr.
I think before the Academy Award, it was Cuba.
Cuba?
Yes, sir.
Good to speak to you.
Oh, man, good to be spoken to so early in the morning.
We're going
to
go with Cuba?
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
That'll be perfect.
There you go.
Cuba, first.
Hard Q.
Somebody reminded me that we went to the same junior high and high school.
No, they meant junior prison.
No, that was me, man.
Did you go to Walter Reed Junior High?
I did. So you're from North Hollywood? Then,
I'm from North Hollywood.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I can tell you're enthusiastic and going to put me in your next film just because of that. I must say, I don't know Cuba Gooding Jr. very well. I think we may have met a time or two, but I like you.
I
love your energy. I love your spirit. I just, whenever I see you on a show or whenever I see you in a movie, I just like you. There's an infectious spirit you have. Are you that happy or are you overcompensating for a deep, deep hurt and thinking about killing yourself?
I think I just got happy Negro complex going on.
I got that too.
Too. That's so weird. And I look like Opie Taylor.
Thing where certain parts of your body are larger than others, but yet you're just happy about it.
Yes. What kind of stereotype is that? Yes, it's fine.
I'm talking about my mind.
We know.
We
my imagination. It's just so wild. What'd you think I was talking about? My shoe size?
I'm just thinking about that old phrase, a schlong is a terrible thing to waste.
I'm 5'6" and white, and everything is at the appropriate size, so everybody move along. Actually, I ran into Cuba at a gas station recently, not that long ago. This is Danny Bonici, by the way, Cuba. Yeah, do you remember we met at a gas station and you actually complimented me on my boxing skills?
Is that right?
Yeah. Wait, you don't remember me? Danny Bonaducci?
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, we used to be at the same gym for a long time.
Okay.
You remember that?
That helps me with my question. Have you ever...
The shadow boxing gym.
You're right, on Beverly. Have you ever, and it's a legitimate question, have you ever, with a glove on, in a ring, punched me in the face?
Have I ever punched you in the face in the ring? I don't think we sparred. Is that what you're saying? No, we never sparred.
Then were you there when Shamar Moore? I wish it was you and not Shamar Moore. Were you there when Shamar Moore knocked me out?
No.
Oh, God, I tell everybody it was you because I don't want Shamar to have knocked me out.
Well, we've all done it in our dreams, but Cuba, you're saying you've never actually done it.
That I don't believe Danny and I have ever sparred, but you know, Danny, Steve Petromoli's here with me in Manhattan.
What?
He's on this tour with me.
Your boxing trainer?
Yeah. He goes, because I start a movie tomorrow, and every film he comes out and trains me on the set.
To get in shape.
He's here with me.
Yeah, you know you've arrived when you have that rider, and you get to bring the guy who trains you and the guy who breaks in your shoes with you on tour. I use the same guy. I have him train me in my Italian loafers.
I know.
You know, I got to be honest with you, though. Danny, he's got this tough image. He's a sweet guy.
Well, thank you.
He really, really is.
Sweet.
You are. You're a sweet, intelligent guy. And I'm sure a lot of people are starting to understand that, even though you act a little off-kilter.
He's smart and off-kilter.
Everybody outside of his family is slowly realizing that he is a sweet, sweet, smart, intelligent man. Cuba, let's talk a little Daddy Day Camp so we can get a nice plug-in for you, my brother. In theaters today.
That's right.
The sequel to the Daddy Daycare. I'm looking here. If you would ask Daddy Daycare, remember the Eddie Murphy movie? That movie's now 4 years old. That's how fast time is traveling. Daddy Daycare came out last summer, in my mind, not 03. But this is the sequel with you and who else in it?
Well, it's so funny because none of the other cast came in and, you know, reprised the roles.
You couldn't get Jeff Garland out of the kitchen long enough to do it, reprise his role?
Kids, you know, it's like you said, 4 years later, half them kids are in prison.
So, or dead. Let's not be a total bummer. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we had to find all new kids to destroy their lives with. You know what I'm saying? We had to start all over again.
I know.
And it's so funny because on the set, the joke is this is Daddy Day Camp, right? And this is a reimagining of the franchise, not as much a sequel. We think we have more heart than the first movie.
I know you do.
You know what I'm saying? More kids. And, you know, we beat the kids in the movie. That's
the big difference.
Sure.
We strap them down and just whoop them real quick.
Hey, Cuba, are you still in touch with Tom Cruise?
Well, the last time I talked to him was about 2 years ago, so that's probably not really in touch. It's been about 2 years.
Brother's not big fans of Scientology.
So not at the wedding?
No, I was. They didn't have... The only black people they had there was parking cars.
Would be funny if you showed up at the you showed up wearing a vest at the wedding and some white guy threw his keys. Hey,
I gotta
heap some praise on Cuba. Speaking of Cruise for Jerry Maguire, not only is that movie, go back and look at that movie. I don't know what it is, 8 years old, 10 years old now. It is a great, great movie. It's a great love story. It's a great message. It's a real message and a real love story. And Cuba is great. And the end zone dancing you're doing after you celebrate is amazing. I mean, normally normally you can tell they shoot it from a wide, long angle. They put in a gymnast to do the whatever. That's all you.
Yeah, that was, go back to my breakdancing days, doing all the flips and flops and whatnot.
Did you used to breakdance?
Yeah, I was in the 84 Olympics behind Lionel Richie, doing one of the official Olympics.
He was the first.
Lionel, not Nicole Richie.
He was the first guy to dance on a ceiling. Come on. No, doing when you watch Jerry Maguire and you see Cuba catch the touchdown pass in the end zone and then break off into the celebration, and he's wearing a helmet and shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Not just a sequence vest that he used to wear in the 80s. That is, it's absolutely impressive. Like, you're just like, wow, this guy's an athlete. Look at this. Very impressive, impressive movie. But Daddy Day Camp, twice the film. Twice as good.
You got an Oscar nomination for that too, right?
He's going to get a nod this Daddy year for Day Daddy Camp. Day Camp. Yes.
No, and the Image Awards.
So that is coming out in theaters today. And what are you going to work on now, Cuba?
Well, I just, the next film that comes out is the one I did with Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe for Ridley Scott, this thing, American Gangster.
Not heard of any of those names, but we'll IMDb them and see what sitcom they were in.
Actor types.
Actors?
Yeah.
Okay, not
remember
athletes.
That one guy used to go, I'm coming, Wheezy?
Mm-hmm.
That guy.
Okay. Oh, from that. Oh, okay. Sanford and Son, I think. Yeah. Oh, no. That was the. Anyway, we'll go look. We'll IMDb those names, see if we can find out what they've done. That's very cool. When's that coming out?
November 2nd.
Mm-hmm. And the one you're working on right now, not that it won't
one
be
I'm
out.
Working on right now is called Harold with Spencer Breslin. And he's a wonderful kid from Cat in the Hat and the Kid with Bruce Willis. He plays a 12-year-old boy in elementary school who has a condition, male pattern baldness. And the only one he can befriend is a little black janitor with an afro who's stuck in the mentality of the 70s, and that's my character.
And beautiful. And you want to talk about range. Who's going from the Daddy Day Camp to the American Gangster movie with Crowe and Ridley Scott and all these folks? I mean, to me, you've covered every movie that has come out in the last 5 years by doing those two movies. Everything falls in between those two movies. Hey, Cuba, you live out in Los Angeles?
I do.
Well, come see us in person when you're back home.
I love that.
Good times.
I absolutely love that. I'm in Manhattan now, or I'd be there this morning.
God love you. Cuba Gooding Jr., everyone. Daddy Day Camp in studios and in theaters, I should say, as we speak. Nice guy.
Really nice
guy.
That guy. I thought that was going to work out so badly for me. The worst case scenario was him saying, no, that wasn't me that hit you, that was Shamar. I never even occurred to me that he'd go, what are you talking about? I don't remember you. Who the hell are you? It never even occurred to me. I mean, he was right there when I was fighting people.
Shamar is the guy who played Muhammad Ali.
No, neither of them got the job.
No, they're both trying to get the job.
They're both trying to get the job. And Shamar, I thought, as soon as I bust this pretty boy in the face, that's that. And then he didn't have a mouthpiece, so they went in the back and grabbed a used one that still had a little blood in it, and he put it in his mouth. And I went, pretty man is deadly serious. And then he kicked my ass.
Good times. It must have been a shock to everyone in the gym to see a large black man beating up a small white guy. A sight they've never seen before.
Dude, I'm telling you.
They all gathered in awe.
You know pretty Shamar is. You'd have thought, bust this guy in the face, and that's it. He'll run. And when he put in somebody else's icky mouthpiece, I thought, real guy, real serious, I'm dead. And damn if I wasn't right.
Icky mouthpiece is my porn name, by the way.
I think I saw you last
night. That's Lampanelli's porn name. Icky you'll be working with Icky Mouthpiece?
I've said in my contract that I won't work with Icky Mouthpiece.
Don't forget, you got to work with Busta Rhymes. She's going to be on it.
Lisa Lampanelli, always great to see you, baby girl.
Good to see you, man.
And I got to tell you, the pounds melt away. Here's the thing about Lisa. I only see Lisa about every 4 months.
Right.
That's what you want when people are losing lots of weight.
Right.
Here's what you don't want. If you see them every day, well, then you can't tell they lost 2 ounces since the last
right.
time
right,
you saw them.
Right, and they're all proud because they're walking around, they got Weight Watchers, and they lost 0.2 pounds or something. And you're right. like, bitch, I ain't going to notice that. But you notice a 40 spot. You know what I'm saying?
You notice the 40 spot.
When you go from an 18 to a 14, you know, it's pretty
right.
good.
But what you don't want is to see the person 3 years later, because it's happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to any of you. I had a friend who was 350 pounds. That was him. When you're big and fat, especially when you're a guy, it's your personality. Mm-hmm. Every third joke is a fat joke. Everything that comes out of your mouth is talking about something going into your mouth. Right. It's everything. It's part of you. It's your essence. You are like a black comedian on stage every day off stage.
Right, right.
Just doing the jokes about what it's like being a brother, except for you're doing it. Okay. That guy was 350 pounds. He was my best buddy. I saw the guy every day, and 10 years, I never missed a day of seeing the guy. And then 3 years went by. I didn't see him. He got the gastric bypass, right. and I saw him at 180 pounds. I was freaked out.
It is kind of weird.
It
yeah.
is weird.
Right.
And it's like they threw up your friend.
Right.
Where is
right.
he? He got out. And they're talking to you, and they sound the same, but you can't stop staring. And it throws you.
Well, that's why, like, when I moved back to L.A. and you see Big Boy on the, yeah. the big billboard.
Yes.
And like, who's the, it's like they cut him open and a little miniature guy, like a nesting doll.
Yeah.
I'm
you know what
saying
I mean?
If you are going to undergo this bypass or this stomach staple or the gastric whatever surgery, there should be, like, whenever you go in with for any procedure, look, here's what you have to do. Don't eat this. You must sleep with a pillow under you for the first whatever. One of the things on the thing says, go find people you went to high school with and check in with them every two
yes,
weeks.
Yes.
But they don't want to see your ass at the reunion. You will freak their ass out.
It's really true. Well, you don't want to see me in 3 more years because I'll have gained it all back.
Oh,
I'm just totally giving up.
I'm just saying, I see Lisa every 4 months and it's yeah. perfect. I can see she lost 20 pounds in between visits.
Well, yeah,
it's
I do not- it on purpose that way. That's what, why at the Flavor Roast, it was really funny because I lost all this weight and the guys didn't know it. And they're like, right. I had to throw out all their fat jokes, which is cool. And they're like, thank God, we still have ugly jokes.
No, but here's the thing. Lisa
I think
looks,
Kimmel said that.
You look great. I mean, she's got... Oh, no, really?
Thank you.
Hold on. Let me just say one thing. Those roasts are so... The roasts are funny. Here's the thing about the roasts, which is great. I've said all the time. These... It's like you think whoever's getting roasted is up there on stage and there's a bunch of snipers with their crosshairs on the guy's forehead. No, there's not. There's one terrorist with an exploding vest filled with nails.
Yes, right.
He's going to go in the middle of the stage and everyone's going to get it. Now, the guy who's getting roasted, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's right. vaporized. Believe me, you're going to get some shrapnel on your side if you're anywhere near the stage.
Right.
If you're sitting in front of the stage, you're effed.
Did
but
you?
If you're on stage, you'll hear 2 jokes about Flava Flav and 1 joke about Jimmy and me being gay.
Oh, yeah, that, yeah.
That's, right. that's,
there were more than that
that's
this
the way
year,
it works.
Way.
And,
oh, really?
The thing that's funny about it, too, is they don't even care. Like, they'll have 8 fat Lisa Lampanelli jokes lined up yeah. and go, F it, I'm using it.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I was talking to one of the guys who does the roast. Oh, think of his Nick Apollo or someone. Nick
DiPaolo.
Yeah. And he's like, he comes to me before the roast and he goes, You're half Mexican, right? And I go, no, I'm Italian. He goes, oh, okay. Then he gets up there and he's like, Corolla, half Mexican, half Italian.
Totally lie for the sake of the joke.
F it, I've written 3 good jokes about Corolla being Mexican.
I wouldn't.
I'm not going to let the fact that he's not Mexican slow me down.
But to back up your theory of the collateral damage, if you will, I have attended these roasts and. I've also seen the upcoming commercials
Big
for
mistake.
The one you do.
Yeah, yeah.
And a friend of the show whose name always escapes me, it's such a great joke, and he's such a funny guy, I feel bad when I do it. He says, how do you make fun of a crackhead in a Viking helmet?
Yeah, no, I think that might have been Jeff Ross.
That is. You say, if you want to say it yourself.
Which one?
It's time to take the clock off.
Oh, yeah, take off the clock. You haven't had to be anywhere in 13 years.
All right, so collectively, really? That is.
But Flavor, let me tell you, he was absolutely the best sport I've ever seen. I mean, I've done all these roasts, and he was the best.
Well, he's high as a kite.
No, I don't think he was. That's
what's weird. He didn't understand a word you
really?
Said.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
He didn't know what you were saying.
Kimmel
that white
had the
say.
Funniest moment of the whole roast, though. I've been saying this the whole time.
What was his
okay.
line?
Okay. All those girls from the show were there, from Flavor of Love, all those the hooers.
Right.
And so Kimmel says some horrible joke about them, and one of them stands up and starts giving the finger in the camera really gangster style, and all he does without missing a beat is a way to break the perception.
Right.
And the whole audience went nuts, and then he goes, wait a minute, where was I? The whores distracted me.
Nice,
it was like the greatest moment of all time. And I mean, from then on, the whores stayed in their place. They knew their place.
But if you make if he makes a crack joke and you make a has-been joke and you're not talking about me, and then you realize I'm in the front row, wait, look, his white cousin, the crackhead has-been, is also here.
It's your wife. They should roast you, actually. You'd be perfect for that.
Well, first, most of them would have to find out who I am.
Everybody knows you, honey. Your reputation. Now that you're on the Adam Carolla show, now you're famous.
Kiss two asses with the same mouth.
Pretty good. I ain't stupid. I need to sell out the Wiltern on August 18th.
Lisa Lampanelli. That's right. August 18th, the Wiltern, a beautiful venue out here with a wildly creative name. It's on the corner of Wilshire and Western.
Ooh.
Thus, Wiltern. Were there no more ideas for a theater name? That's it? That's all you got?
That's all you got.
Wiltern. All right. Lisa Lampanelli here. We're going to do the news. Lisa's going to sit in and roast the news with us. Tea?
Yes.
Quick teas before we go to break.
We're going to hear from the guy who caught Barry Bonds' ball. Also, Scary and Larry. Did you see it last night? Melanie B on Larry King. Very interesting. And Britney Spears had a fling with some extra, and it went very badly.
Good times. We'll do that next with Lisa Lampanelli.
Let's go!
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
It's not like I'm always banging guys, but I was banging this one black guy in Oakland, California, because that's where we keep a lot of you people. And this is why I date the black guys, because they know how to talk in the sack. Now, seriously, this guy, oh, my God, he looks at me right after, and he goes, you got some bomb-ass coochie.
Lisa Lampanelli on the Adam Carolla Show.
I do have the bomb-ass coochie, Adam.
If Mort Saul had had sex with tons of black men, I believe that's the kind of humor that would have come out of him.
It is absolutely true.
Lisa Lampanelli, the queen of the roast, is going to be at the Wiltern Theater out here right on Wilshire in Western. Beautiful old historic Art Deco building. Great place to see anything, but especially Lisa Lampanelli. That is next Saturday, August 18th.
Yes, son.
T.
Yes.
The news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
A microphone has been lowered into a hole drilled into a mine cavity where six workers are believed to be trapped in Utah. This according to officials who spoke this morning. Here is mine owner Bob Murray trying to put a positive spin on where things stand in Utah.
It's a good news report that our engineers were able to drill from the side of the mountain and hit precisely in the mine where they wanted to, in the cavity, in the open area. That's good news. The fact that we have not picked up any sound, I believe, should not be interpreted as bad news. I would not make that decision and that conclusion yet.
Well, I'm just going to do the news math.
Yeah.
Not hearing anything in the cavern that you lowered the mic into is not good news, but it's news. Maybe it's bad news. I don't want to make light of the situation, but it would be funny if they lowered the mic down and the first voice they heard was Michael Buffer yelling, "Let's get ready to rumble." I'm just picturing the ring. hopefully these guys are alive. Right. The good news is they say the oxygen is fine.
Right. Here
down
is
down there. I'm such a retard. Here's what a retarded scientist I am. It's like we lowered the sensor down. There's 20% oxygen. Oh my God, they're all dead. That's good. Oh yes, good. No, that's fine. That's what I'm doing is I'm watching. Like 20%, oh, they've all suffocated then. They're like on Mars, right? Right. No, evidently we're all living in 20% oxygen or something. It's not 100% oxygen. There's some nitrogen and some helium and some whatever. I'm floating methane in this studio, floating around. So evidently they have the environment to live. Now they're wondering if they're on another side of a cave-in or something like that, right?
Well, here is Bob Murray actually addressing your point about the air quality.
Mm-hmm. We just got the air reading. It's very, very good. It's 20.5% oxygen, no methane, and a moderate amount of carbon dioxide. That is almost perfect air to support human life.
Yeah, now they're going to lower a camera, but what are they going to see with the camera if in they've hit a pocket that they're not in other than an empty pocket? So it's weird because they can't tell if they're in the pocket they're in or not. I don't know how they hit it, by the way.
One thing is possible. Oh, they're just so good at their job, those guys. But one thing they will see is, and God forbid, a bunch of dead bodies.
Right.
That's why they're not hearing any noise. The good news would possibly be you're seeing a pocket that is clearly room for people to survive. So if there is another cave-in and that's why you're not hearing them, it implies the possibility of another space for them to be alive in.
Right.
My grandfather died in a cave mine, a coal mine.
Really?
I know a thing called a monkey vein, as a matter of fact. Mm. So I know a little bit about it.
Another one of my poor names.
Monkey vein?
All right, let's move on. Let's move on to happier news.
Yes, well, in the world of sports, despite estimates that he could probably get up to $1 million for Barry Bonds' record-breaking home run ball, Matt Murphy, who caught the ball, may or may not sell it.
Part of me wants to keep it. It's the greatest American sports accomplishments in history. Part of me might want to sell it, but I really am leaning towards keeping it. It's just too valuable, sentimental.
Great baseball fan, great blues guitarist, Matt Guitar Murphy. I've seen Matt Murphy.
Yes.
He's wearing a tattered Mets shirt. He looks like every single guy who's ever gotten off the subway in New Jersey. And I'll bet you the over-under on what that guy pulls in a year is $22,000. He's sitting on something the size of an orange that is worth $1 million plus. I'm guessing he's going to sell it.
He's keeping it. Well, much the same thing happened to me. A button popped off my dress at my taping of my last special, and the gay guy returned it to me.
Oh, really?
So, yes, he did.
I thought you were saying kill somebody.
No, I said, return that. That cost $5 a button.
And
that's a lot to Lisa Lampanelli.
And it was insulting when he got out the Purell.
And he's a gay, which is ironic.
It's unnecessary.
They're more filthy. There's a difference. I'll explain to you during the break.
Thanks, man.
Okay, now this Matt Murphy, you've estimated his salary at a 22 grand something.
Yes, that's the over-under, yes.
He is saying now that he had a very interesting cab ride on the way in to go to this Giants game.
We noticed the crazy prices of the cabs in San Francisco from the airport to our hotel, about a $55 cab ride, and we asked him if he thinks Barry's going to do it tonight. We told him we had tickets, and we made him a deal. You know, we don't pay for this cab, and we'll give you a couple of $1,000 if we catch it.
And he turned the deal down, right?
He turned me down, man.
Yeah, he's kicking himself right now.
I'd like to talk to him.
Matt Murphy on the Today Show.
Let me tell you how that went.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, cabbie, instead of the 55, this is Matt Guitar Murphy. Here's how that conversation went. He knocks on the glass. He knocks on the plexiglass. It's bad. The more protection there is between you and the guy who's driving you, the worse the society you're living in.
Right.
When there's, 3 inches of solid Lexan, ballistic Lexan in between you and the person who's in front of you, so you can't choke him with your belt. Right. That's a bad sign. I feel like there was a time when gentlemen just drove other gentlemen around. But anyway, here's how that conversation went with Matt Guitar Murphy. Hey, yo, man, hey, $55 instead of $55. If I catch you at Barry Bonds' home run ball, how about this? How about I'll cut you in for $3,000 and you save, you take a chance, you don't get the 55, but you will get the three. No, I do not think so. And that is the exact conversation that was all they ever had.
Good enough, though.
The crazy, crazy partial Indian guy.
Hey, some nobody named Matt had a good story for the Today Show. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't. $55 for a guy named Matt to have a decent story?
Right.
It's worth the money.
Where's Dopey Matt from? What's his hometown?
Queens.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That explains it.
Yeah, I would love to know what he... And what I don't understand is Bald Brian's friend, as we'd stated before,
buddy got from high school.
He got the 700 ball.
Caught the 700th, yeah, home run ball.
And sold it for $800,000.
Correct, online. On wow. Overstock.com is like a big, it was like a big deal.
Okay, so $800,000 for the 700th. This broke the record.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be worth $1.5 million right now. If that one got eight, this has got to be 1.5, no problemo.
Probably. At the time, it was 2 years ago at least, so Barry wasn't quite as hated. He's gotten more hated ever since, but I'm sure it's
still
probably more. Yes, this
maybe,
ball's worth more.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, T. Sorry.
Okay. Now, Lisa, I don't know if you were a fan of the Spice Girls.
Enormously huge fan.
Were you?
Oh, sure.
Who was your favorite?
I think the creepy girl of Baby Spice.
Yeah.
Baby Spice.
That's who I imagined myself to right. be.
You related the most
yes,
to Baby.
I did. I related
it's,
to that.
Yeah, it's awesome when you want to F someone who's dressed like a baby.
Well, I know. A little creepy.
Yeah, but what about the Catholic schoolgirl thing seems to be popular, too.
With like Britney and stuff. That, yeah. Something about that is entirely wrong. As I said, I spent part of the day yesterday at the hospital. Store.
Yeah.
Do you know what I looked at the cover of only because I couldn't bring myself to buy it? Barely Neagle,
mm-hmm.
number 255.
Wow.
Swear to God. So
yes.
I'm guessing there's a market.
The yes. chick from Barely Legal first is 84 years old.
She's barely alive.
Barely alive is what it's called. I've rented the Clinging to Life series.
Starring Estelle Getty.
Betty White. Sex with chicks hooked up to respirators.
Loving the Iron Lung, one of my favorites.
You know what's weird? I bet there is a market for that, though.
I'm sure.
Because I did a special recently for Larry the Cable Guy.
The
and
market,
I had to wear
Drew Carey.
I had to wear a big neck brace with that halo thing, the big metal thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think guys wanted to F me in that
what?
Neck brace.
Dude,
I
guys,
really do. I think guys, there'll be a fetish for everything.
I agree. There's a lid for every pant.
Right. I yes. have no particular fetish except that I want as much sex as possible. Mm. But in the store, see, I just got a bunch of girls doing it with a bunch of guys. That's porn to me.
Yes.
But there was all girl. Then there were pregnant women.
Yeah.
That's just
ugly.
Yeah.
Sure.
Then there was hot moms. Then hot older women. They were probably in their 60s. Mm-hmm. There's a market for every weird-ass dude out there.
Yeah. I got to tell you.
And I'm not showing you guys my receipt anyway.
One of the more uncomfortable exchanges I've had in my life is they also have all the ethnic porn. They got the black on black and the white and the black and the Oreo stuff and all that great stuff. I was hanging out in the Asian section looking for Minka's latest release.
Ah. Of course.
So I could have one of my latest releases.
And number one.
And an Asian dude. I ran into an Asian dude in the Asian section,
weird.
Which was weird, but I felt weird.
Yeah.
Now, son, I felt like a weird racist. Now, I'm going to enjoy spanking off to your culture. In a way, it's the ultimate, tip of the cap in a certain sense, but it was still weird. There should be a rule. You can't hang out in your own aisle. I don't want to see any brothers in the black aisle with me getting weird with them, and I want to see any Asians in the Asian, and Jews don't get me started.
They are the problem.
Do you know what? Now I'm thinking about it. There is, you're right, there's ethnic. That's the section. There's sale, ethnic, fetish.
Who is number one?
There's all sorts of that stuff, but there is no Jew.
And
no point on any aisle did it say Jew sex.
Rabbi sexual.
There's not
yes,
one of them.
No.
Well, there's a lot of the black porn because everybody, every time somebody thinks it's funny, they give me a black porn tape.
Right.
And I have to keep it in my drawer, and I hope I don't die and my parents find it, and they'll see interracial facial 1-4, hard-ons in the hood, come on, in and out of Africa. It ain't nice,
Hey, listen, we watch Goys in the Hood. That's hot for us, for the taboo. All right. Do we have time to get to this?
Damn, yes, sure.
Thank you.
Shy.
Yeah.
Which I also rented yesterday.
Scary Spice?
Scary Spice, yes.
Well, she's back in the news. Now, I don't know if you've heard. There's a lot of drama to do with her. First of all, she had a secret wedding in June to some producer named Steven Belafonte.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's related. Then Eddie Murphy was saying that he was not the father of the baby she recently had, named Angel Iris. Paternity tests said otherwise. Eddie Murphy is the father of her baby now. It seems as though he doesn't want to be involved in the child's life. He doesn't seem to want to pay.
The baby was born in a fat suit. That's how they know it was Eddie's child.
It was. They were sure right away.
It came out as a 400-pound black woman.
And it was a young boy.
And the first one came out and they said, look, little Eddie Murphy. And then the second one came out and they said, and Eddie Murphy.
Well, Melanie Brown, Scary Spice, went on Larry King to talk about her relationship with Eddie Murphy, how she wants him to be involved in the life of little angel Iris. And then she wants to set the record straight about how exactly this baby came to be.
This is a planned baby. This is something
you
that we both sat
it.
Down. Yeah, we both sat down and we discussed it. Listen, I have an eight-year-old. I'm not about to just have a baby by accident. I'm a very responsible parent. We both sat down and planned it. And yeah.
But you didn't plan to be married.
Yeah, we didn't make set in stone plans to be married, but that we definitely spoke about it, and that was one of the things.
Are you in love with him?
Yeah.
I don't like it when black people speak with that fake British accent.
It's very off-putting.
Very
it throws
off-putting.
Me off.
I never got hit on the nose because of that.
Can't handle it.
But
I
you know
to
what?
Straighten them out.
Nobody sits down and discusses a pregnancy. What happens is you do it, then you panic, then you sit down.
Right.
Maybe you cleanse, but then you sit down. And you say, hey, what happens if I just got pregnant? And you say, I will swear I never met you.
Yes.
That's the way that goes.
I don't know, you know, I don't have a whole lot of pieces to the Eddie Murphy puzzle, but the ones I have are starting to form a very weird picture that I don't like very much.
Well, Lisa, you like all the black men.
I enjoy the colored people, and I must tell you, you want to not, if you want, you know, come on, you're going to bang a black guy, you're not going to expect him to, you know, support the baby. I mean, like, it is what it is.
Yes, you're doing the math.
Exactly.
Sure.
I know the struggle.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if Colin Powell just rolled off you and lit a cigarette, you'd think, all right, I got a 50-50 chance of him chipping in.
He might send me a support check once every now and again. The son might send you, you know, give you the abortion money.
Right, but if the guy's a blues singer, you better get a gig.
You better start working, bitch.
Well, later I'll get to Britney Spears and the extra who slept with her and now can't stop talking about it.
See, that stinks. I can't bang extras either now. If he's telling everything, how else am I supposed to get laid?
This guy's
telling
everybody.
I shoot very low, as you know, Adam.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I don't go for the star. I don't go for the Cuba Gooding. I go for the Cuba Gooding stand-in.
Ah.
Right.
So a stand-in is above an extra.
Oh.
I think they earn more money.
Well, if they can. Above an extra.
Usually,
I actually fly to Cuba so they can just shut the hell up. I leave the island. They're stuck there.
Pretty good idea.
Thank you.
Usually, they're just extras that got the nod to go stand in. But yeah, everyone has a camera in their phone, and then everyone gets a microphone shoved in front of their face now.
Yeah.
So there's no longer any humping any civilians if you're a politician or a celebrity, because that civilian is making a civilian salary.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you tell a civilian who makes $30,000, $40,000 a year, hey, guess who's going to get 3 years' salary in one lump
for
10 minutes of flapping your jaw or much more? It's easy math to do. And we can all look down our noses at it. But when I was swinging a hammer and I was making 18 grand a year and somebody said, hey, here's 50 grand. Just tell us what's her name was like. Oh, my God. There wouldn't be a mountain high enough and a loudspeaker big enough.
Right.
I would have done it anyway. Listen, if I nailed Britney Spears, I'd be screaming about, I'd be bragging to my wife.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
But now the tables have turned. Are you ever nervous about people saying stuff that you did or did not do? I mean, I know people must call your wife when they see you somewhere, or at least they call my wife or my girlfriend when they see me somewhere. Hey, what's he doing here? Did you know he's at a bar? Yeah,
I'll serve Coke at the bar. I'll tell you the weirder part. The weirder part is when you hop on your message board and somebody says, hey, I ran into Adam at the Walmart and I asked him if he'd take a picture with me. And he said, okay, but I didn't have my camera. So I said, could you hold on for a second, Adam? And I went and grabbed it and he was gone. What an a-hole. And I think to myself, I've never been in a Walmart in my entire life.
Exactly.
I don't even know if we have one. And every single person reading this thinks,
they know now,
why would they be making this up? It doesn't sound like...
It's not a big story.
It's not a big story. Just Adam's sort of half an a-hole and shops at the Walmart. Even more incriminating than I would be in a Walmart.
You know who it's... And you might not be surprised by this. You know who it's a great time to be, even though a B-list celebrity at best?
Mm.
Me. You could have pictures of me doing it with a goat, and how would it possibly hurt me?
That's
in
what
any
I always
way?
Say, at Danny Bonaduce, because Lisa Lampanelli has naked pictures of herself out there from when I was in my 20s. Now, I was good looking in my 20s, and some boyfriend took them, some douchebag pothead I was dating. I hope those pictures come out because I look freaking hot.
Yes.
You know, no matter how much weight I lose, my ass is still cottage cheese gravel driveway action. So now I don't want no naked pictures, but back then I'm a shoo-in.
You and I should be an on the road act. How do you hurt us?
I think you and me should just have sex and release a horrifyingly bad video of it that no one would want to watch.
Oh, God, I'm so in.
Wait a second. Would you have sex with Danny?
Absolutely.
On camera?
Oh, he's hot.
Hit the internet, but with only
Danny's weird hot, like creepy fetishy hot, so we'd have a good time, I think. I'd jump off the blacks to go to you. Absolutely.
All right, you'll be thoroughly disappointed, but we'll make some money on this video.
Cool, man.
Because even though I don't like it when people come up and say, aren't you Danny Partridge? I mean, I just say, yeah, I'm that guy. That's fine with me. But I'd like to think I've succeeded enough that they go, aren't you Danny Bonaduce? Or aren't you from the Adam Carolla Show or VH1? Something else besides that.
Well, after banging me, it'll be, aren't you Danny Lampanelli?
No, we got to use Partridge. We got to use Partridge Bones Lampanelli.
Lovebirds, I don't want to interrupt
you. Oh, sorry, Teresa. But
we have to go to break, after which, if you want, we can hear from this douchebag that's talking about Britney Spears.
All right, I want to hear that. I want to say this. Lisa Lampanelli's got to go. She has an appointment. Will turn on the 18th. I would buy the Lampanelli Bonaduce sex tape for one reason, one reason only.
I just threw up in my mouth.
That's part of it. We're going
to
do that.
I would show. I would use it as sort of scared straight tactic for my girl.
For your daughter.
When she hits puberty, you want to see what it's like?
Yes.
You want to see what it's like? You want to see what sex is all about?
These two are in love.
Don't worry about the tan, shaved, beautiful people on the other tapes Daddy has. Remember that avalanche you were swallowed in when you opened the hall closet there? Don't worry about those people. Let me show you what it's really like, okay? Now, here's a trash can to vomit in. I'm going to blow cigarette smoke in your face, baby.
It's like you're in the room.
And feed you malt liquor. We're going to kill three birds with one stone here. Watch away. And we're watching until the credits roll.
I don't want Lisa to leave.
I don't want her to leave.
I don't want Lisa to leave.
I'll come back soon and we'll make out or do something. Okay,
cool.
Danny?
I'm in.
Everyone loves Lisa Lampanelli. That should be the name of the sitcom.
That's right.
Everybody loves Lisa, even Partridge Boy.
That's right.
Live at the Will Turn Theater next Saturday, the 18th.
Yes. Ticketmaster.com and watch the Roast of Flava Flav Sunday. You heard?
Quick break. Be back with the rest of Scary Spice, Larry King, and many other things next.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Hold your breath. That's what this German diver did to set the Guinness World Record for staying underwater. The 32-year-old remained underwater for 15.2 minutes.
Wow, how is that possible? 15 minutes.
All right, getting warm out there. Let's check on Mark Thompson.
I remember when I used to host the Guinness World Records right here in France. Before the show was summarily canceled by some drunk executive.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we got such a roll with Lisa Lampanelli. We never did get to Teresa's clips of Scary Spice on top of Decrepit Spice's show.
That's right, Larry King.
Larry King.
Well, we heard a little of her, and she does have that British accent. I don't recall ever hearing her speak. Her speaking voice wasn't what I expected.
Mm-mm.
Eddie Murphy, obviously, is the father of her baby now, Angel Iris. She went on Larry King to discuss the fact that she's angry that he won't be involved in this baby's life. And Decrepit Spice asked how Melanie Brown feels about Eddie Murphy now.
Your feelings toward Eddie right now.
Let me take a breath on that one. I think he's a great guy. At the end of the day, the person that I fell in love with was amazing. The person that I know now and seeing his actions and what he's saying and the way he's conducting himself, I'm kind of appalled.
Yeah. Old Spice always asking the hard-hitting questions. And a great stocking stuffer as well. I try to figure out ways to measure people that are sort of universal because
when somebody kills somebody, you can't say that person's bad, but just until you hear the evidence.
Right, absolutely.
So it's like, hey, this guy killed this guy. Really? He's a bad guy. Turns out the guy he killed raped his niece. And then for me, he goes to hero. Now he gets beyond just basic civilian. He's now a Superman. He killed the guy, raped the niece.
A kid jumps out from between two parked cars chasing a ball, and he's now a victim because he's scarred for life and did nothing at his own fault.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
When I try to judge people, it's hard to judge them. You have to hear all the evidence. The guys that have kids that ignore their kids or don't take care of their kids or just send a check at their kids hoping it'll go away but never want to be part of a kid's life, I'm going to go ahead and say are bad. And I'm going to say that transcends all the boundaries of culture and gender and whatever. It's just if you have kids and you know you have kids and those kids are living in New Jersey and you've decided to move to Florida and live full time with some new kids that you're probably going to ignore in a few short years, you're a flawed and bad person. As a person who's recently had kids, I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it for a woman. For a woman...
Yeah, for a woman, you're scum.
You're total.
If you hear a guy say, yeah, I left my kids, my wife took full custody, so I just split. You hate him, but he's a guy who's a jerk. A woman leaves her kids. You almost feel like you can just shoot her and be okay.
You're totaled. It's time to put you in the crusher.
When a husband says, yeah, my wife, we woke up one day, the kids and I, for breakfast, and went out the table, and there was a note. Mom just left. Want to start a new life.
I'll shoot you in the leg. Yeah.
You shoot her in the leg?
But I shoot him in the leg. The woman gets it in the head.
Yeah, the woman gets it in the head.
She gets in the crusher.
Why does the guy get it?
If you're in insurance... Well, there's a lot of these guys where the chick picks up and leaves, but she don't leave that far away. And this guy could get over there more than he does, but he chooses not to. There's that kind of thing. I mean, look, here's the deal. When you want something, you can get it. We've always talked about drug addicts. There's nothing more expensive than cocaine. Just dig this thought. Per ounce, it's more than gold. It sure the hell's more than lobster. It's triple of, it's the most expensive weighted substance on the planet. And the poorest people, the people with no job, whose family has disowned them years ago, are able to connect with the world's most expensive substance.
Right.
Thus, when you want to do something, you will get it done. If you really want to see your kids, there's not a goddamn thing that can stop you. If you really want, you can do. Whenever somebody tells me, I've been out of work for a year, I go, you don't want a job then.
Yeah.
You don't want a job. If you wanted a job, the people that say, I haven't had a girlfriend or a boyfriend, it's been 8 years. If you really wanted a boyfriend, if you really wanted a girlfriend, unless you're bald Brian, he obviously has a handicap.
Right.
Right.
Part of which is not being honest with himself about his sexuality.
Right. Sure.
The point is...
Not ready.
Not ready yet. Not ready. The point is, his hair came out of the closet years ago, but he stayed in. He stayed in. Boys, when you realize that...
No hair, but a beard.
Unemployable...
I am never going to get tired of this.
Unemployable people that are destitute and living on the street can connect themselves with the world's most expensive substance on a daily basis, then you realize the fire that burns inside of all men... when they want to do something. So the guy who doesn't see his kids because she moved a few blocks away and remarried, he doesn't want to see the kids.
You couldn't, I will tell you, I just happened to say this to someone yesterday. I go to meetings with people with no jobs of any kind and support $500 a day habit somehow.
Right.
That's a guy with ingenuity.
Right.
You know? And me, to be honest with you, when Gretchen and I started to go bad, and this is the first time the years ago, and I had two little kids, and I had enough money either way. If we split it up, I'd still have dough and a job.
Right.
And we were thinking about breaking up, and I looked at her and I said, who needs their family? And I am pretty low on the morals totem pole.
Yeah.
And my first thought was, who actually leaves their kids? What kind of person does that? It should be some sort of crime.
It kind of is if you don't chip in some money, but it's certainly an act against God and humanity. So all these guys that are great guys that just have kids floating around out there, whether they're celebrities, athletes, or just the guy who lives down the street, not a good guy.
Right. Extraordinarily damaging to the children, obviously. There's no question about that.
And the most selfish act you can ever sort of convey to society It is the biggest, you know, people talk about being selfish. You having a kid and not raising that kid is the ultimate selfish act.
Yeah, now Melanie Spice.
That's right.
Had a talk with Suspender Spice, and she right. did.
I pay someone named Olga $2,000 a week to raise my kids.
You're taking care of Olga.
I have dignity. That's right.
Deal, yes. I pay 16 G's a month just to feel better about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had a talk. Melanie.
My kids must think they're the product of a lesbian relationship.
Between Lynette and Olga?
Yes. One of my moms speaks with an accent from Guatemala. Yeah. The other one's white and skinny.
My two mommies.
And then there's this weird uncle who comes by and drops his wallet off twice a week.
Talking.
And then he splits.
Yeah.
He's always complaining. Now we have to go to those classes, Mommy, Mommy and Me.
Who do they think Ozzy is?
Mommy, Nanny and Me.
I just wanted to... run this by you guys.
That's right. Old Spice, Scary Spice.
Oh, yes. Suspender Spice, Scary Spice. They had a sit down, and what she said I thought was very interesting. She said, and obviously this is her viewpoint, we haven't heard from Eddie Murphy, that this baby was planned. So while they were a couple, while they were having sex, and they knew they were running the risk of becoming pregnant, they decided that they would have a baby, that it was a planned baby. And I think this is a conversation a lot of people don't have. I don't know whether they, you know, whether they really had this, but according to her, this was a plan. It was not an accident.
Mm-hmm. All right.
They intended to have it.
Well, even worse than for him in terms of character, if he planned on having the kid and is not going to have any part of the kid's life except for financially.
Yeah, it's no backsies with that.
Yes.
You know
yeah, I can't
mean?
Take him. No, yeah, I can't take that one back. And what's up with him? Is he 50 years old? Is he 45 years old? How many times has he been married? Every time I see him walk down the red carpet, it's like, oh, he's with another beautiful young lady.
Yes,
he's engaged. He has kids, right?
He has an ex who he's with, I think, 12 years, if I'm not mistaken, and he's just recently gotten engaged to somebody else.
Does he have other kids?
You know, I don't know whether or not he does. I will look into that.
Mm-hmm.
Now he certainly has angel iris.
Well,
so hopefully he'll do the right
good
thing.
Good old times. And do they live across the pond?
Melanie?
Yes.
You know, I think the Spice Girls are about to go on tour.
Right.
So they're reunited. So she
but
may be.
She's over there full time, I think, right? I mean that's where his kid's going to be.
Yeah.
So he's not going to see the kid.
Well, maybe she'll move. Posh is over here.
Oh, God. Can't we? Here's the thing, too. We need to trade. Here's what I want. I don't know why Posh Spice bothers me. I think it's because she doesn't eat. She never stops getting her teeth whitened, and she has the fake boobs and everything. And if I were an awkward feeling 11-year-old girl and I had to stare at that tan bitch with the white mouth all day, I would want to kill myself or vomit up whatever it is I just ate. Whatever Lunchables I just put in my pie hole, they're coming right on out. They're coming right back from whence they came. I don't like that. I don't know what it is. I don't like that thing where you get the fake boobs and you stop eating and you spray on the tan and you turn orange and you turn your teeth white. And if you see her, she never stands like a regular person. She always cocks herself at 45 degrees and then tilts her head back and sticks her boobs out. She's always wearing these stripper wedgies, which make her taller than whatever she is, which isn't very tall. I'm just saying, we got her. England, you owe us. I'll tell you what.
You're going to send somebody over
We should send a couple prisoners over or something like that. There should be some sort of exchange.
Eva Longoria for Paul?
Yes.
You'll take it?
Oh, we got a tan bitch. We've been annoying me for 3 years now. I will unload her on you. She can annoy England for a while. We'll take the most annoying chick from England, bring her over here. You guys take like what they do with terrorists.
Yeah.
We got a few guys that are in some safe house in Germany. They represented Hezbollah. You got some guys over there that are part of the SAS or whatever. We'll trade a few of them for a few of us. Perfect. This is a horrible trade. We're getting screwed. We now have the two most annoying people, and they're both on the same continent. We have Spice. We have Annoying Spice, and now Eva Longoria. And now they're buddying up. I love that, too. Don't you love that? Don't you love, hey, new BFFs, Melanie Spice and our, what's her, Spice and Eva Longoria are there to hang out with the Beckhams. Yeah, I'm sure you guys have been fans of each other for a long
years
time.
And years.
Do you hate that kind of celebrity ass licking? You know, where you don't know the Beckhams, they don't know you. Why do you have to go hang out with them? Why do you have to go to the game? You're a big soccer fan. I didn't see it any other soccer games.
I'm kind of wondering about that, though, because I've asked the same question with why celebrities date celebrities, and my guess is it's because who they know, even if they don't know them. All those people will have a fairly hard time going out in public. I never see the Beckhams at Hollywood and Highland. As a matter of fact, I only go there to sign autographs for people from Iowa and feel good about myself.
Right.
I don't think the Beckhams, I don't think the Spices can do that. So they find other guys that can't do it and hunker down.
I will tell you this. Posh Spice could have done it.
Most people could put a hat down and go.
Before this media onslaught of about 6 months ago. Posh Spice, as of January of this year,
you're right,
could have just walked around anywhere she wanted and would have been left alone. You would have thought she was another Beverly Hills divorcee. Yeah. You would have thought she had some rich husband who's an attorney and 20 years her senior.
Even Brad Pitt with the baseball hat that you have on, glasses and head kind of tilted down, just walking normally, could probably get through a crowd.
Probably get by, right, but she certainly could have gotten by. They want to bask in each other's glow. That's what it is. And they're not friends, and they don't care about whatever. I mean, did you see all those celebrities out at Beckham's first game? First off, when do we give a rat's ass about soccer in this country, number one? Number two, he barely even played. And there they all up there licking each other's butts up in the luxury suite. Made me sick and envious.
You didn't get an invite?
No.
Let me get to this briefly before I wrap it up here. A 21-year-old college student, Matt Encinas, was an extra in Britney Spears' comeback video, Get Back.
Mm-hmm.
He somehow ended up accompanying her to a hotel swimming pool after the shoot, so says he. And then he had the class and dignity to keep it to himself and the people of Access Hollywood.
We start kissing, you know, making out, and, you know, she straddles me. She puts her legs around me, and I'm holding her in the pool, and on and off. Brittany was having a couple mojitos, and she had, you know, some Jack Daniels. But prior to having the drinks, she ended up taking off her top, and she had very nice breasts. Very nice breasts, actually. Oh, she had very nice boobs, you know. There she is, topless. So she's topless, but she was completely topless and didn't even care.
Chivalry not dead, evidently.
Was with that guy.
Again, I like the tech music that always plays in the background. M'lady, may I squeeze your fake bosom? Hang on to my codpiece. Please enjoy a libation while I speak to Pat O'Brien about your boobies.
But can't a girl just have a wild night by the pool without it, you know, being described blow by blow to Access Hollywood?
Literally, and no.
No. No.
And what made her think she could?
There was film
of
it.
And the fact that she thinks she could, she's an idiot and deserves it.
For Christ's sake. I now am at the point where I expect to see film of everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, someone says, and in international news in Jakarta, there was an underground explosion that took place at 4 a.m. And I'm like, let's see it.
Yeah.
And it's like, huh? Well, no footage?
Yeah.
Well, it was at 4 in the morning. It was in the center of the earth and no one knew it was coming. I want to see YouTube footage of this explosion that took place in the Earth's molten core.
That's what I said. But if Britney lifted her shirt up while in a puddle of magma, we'd have photos.
Oh, that wouldn't be magma for long.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that is the news.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Speaking of CNN, I was watching this morning in the wee hours. My little dog, Molly.
Did you feed her?
Put her chin, put her chin on my thigh. That means she was done with her little bacon treat and she wants my eggs.
This is amazing.
You gave her the eggs.
You know what's funny? The thing that's funny, it's funny when you try to do stuff quietly. It's funny when you try to yell quietly.
Yeah.
Like one of the kids is sleeping and the other kid is making its way toward the stairs. And you try to do that thing where it's yelling, but under your breath, Sonny! Molly, once a month, Molly decides at 5:15 it's playtime.
Uh-huh.
When I'm in the bedroom getting ready to head out to work, she decides it's going to be time to chase a tennis ball, and we're going to do it in the bedroom. And so she does that thing where she gets down low. She does that thing where she puts paws out front, then she bends over and sticks her ass up in the air. She does that thing where she's getting down low, and then
so on Molly, right?
you do that move where you're like, no, Molly. And then that gets her to spin around a circle and take off one direction, then come flying back. And it's loud. you can hear the pause on the thing. And then, of course, I get yelled at because it seems like I'm doing something to bring this on. So I get to stop playing with Molly. And it's, then you do that thing where you try to yell, but quiet, Molly, not playing. But when I walk at Molly, Molly thinks, oh, it's on. So she spins around and takes off and does another lap around the room and then does that weird bend over. Then I do the thing where I bend down. Molly, come here. Come here. And then Molly thinks, oh, you want some? Oh, it's on. You want some, old man? I got some for you. And then she runs over, knocks me over, then runs around a circle for a while and then runs around. I'm like, Molly, I'm not playing about playing. Then I get the what are you doing?
Like, this is a menagerie.
I know. She took off. Molly got wound up and took off on her own. By the way, I never have that speed, not at 5:15.
This is what you woke me up for.
It's not like, well, 4 days out of the week, I wake up, grunt, drag my ass to the kitchen, put some coffee in my system, and then drag my sorry ass upstairs to put my sweatpants on. But one day out of the week, I'm a ball of energy, running in circles, can't stop doing the jumping jacks and zipping around the room. I don't have that. For some reason, Molly is asleep 20 days out of the month. I'll go by, she'll be asleep, and then the 21st day comes around, pow, doggy uppers, just zipping around like she got shot at like trucker speed. And it's on.
Well, as you were quietly yelling at her, CNN was playing in the background.
Ah, yes. Thank you.
This is what you woke me up for.
Molly, be quiet. It's not playtime.
One time.
All right. Yeah, CNN. Watching this morning a few stories on CNN, and one about the gays, the other about something that is a pet peeve of mine and drives me insane, and we will play you both those clips next.
What's Stock Hardware? Nick speaking.
Hi, Nick. Hope you can help me out here. I'm in a bit of a jam here.
Okay.
My kids, they crazy glued the toilet seat.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty embarrassing. I'm sitting here stuck on the toilet seat.
Well, let me see. I know we've got a solvent for that, but I think what you're probably going to end up having to do is you might end up calling paramedics.
Look, Nick, this between you and me.
I'm not going to say a word to anybody.
Now, come on, Nick. Think, man. I feel you can help me out of here.
I'll do what I can.
I'm getting scared because, you know, if that stuff can hold a construction worker up by his hard hat, it definitely ain't going to let go of me and my ass. Oh, well, Nick, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Ooh, I'm so embarrassed, but I had to go. I'm sorry. All right, now what'd you say, Nick?
Acetone. It's a very caustic substance. It's pretty heavy duty.
What, so it's like a salve for your ass?
Never really thought of it like that.
Okay, and you have that there at your store?
We do.
Oh, well, Nick, okay, that problem solved. Come on over. Bring some of that over here and rub it on my behind parts, and man, I'll be up and out.
Well, the thing is I don't want to end up doing more damage that's already been done.
Nick, I got a toilet seat stuck to my ass. You can't do no more damage than that. Nick, you get to see me naked. I work out. I got a six-pack and a toilet seat. Be like Abraham Lincoln and come over here and set me free. Come emancipate my ass.
The problem is I don't drive.
I'm going to send a cab over there to you.
I'm sorry, but I absolutely
can't. Nick, you can do this. Look, have confidence in your abilities, Nick. You go grab that ass salve, and you march out that door with your head up high, hop in that cab. You make your way right here and set my ass free. Okay, come on.
I'm absolutely not.
Free my ass. Free my ass. Thank God Almighty, I'm going to free my ass.
I really think for your safety, it's going to be best if professionals handle it.
My sticky ass is your destiny, baby. This is your job. You know, every now and then, God sends you a job to do. This is your job. Who knows? I could be an angel. Wait a minute. Hey, I'm off. Okay, never mind. Thanks, Nick.
No problem. Glad to see you're off.
See, most people are nice.
Yeah.
That was the great Wanda Sykes. Everything comes out of her mouth sounds funny.
Yeah, yeah, she's lucky that way.
He really is.
You and I have to work.
I know.
Teresa's got to work. Teresa's especially has to work the news
are
and
you
then
kidding?
Funny.
Teresa has to say stuff that's funny, and even then, you downgrade it to a chuckle.
You're a dick.
Where was I? Ah, that's right, CNN.
I think it's pretty darn funny.
You know, you can be funny without making fun. David Schwimmer explained that very well.
You
can be funny without making fun of someone else.
Even else.
Let me hear Schwimmer again. I love that.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
That's your tax dollars hard at work. Everybody with a very important message. From a super rich guy. All right. I was watching CNN this morning very early, and one of the stories I saw was, I guess they had Bill Richardson, who's from New Mexico. He's a governor of New Mexico. He's a Democratic presidential candidate, and they had some sort of candidates. Here's the problem with running for anything. You have to pretend like you care.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so what it is the Black Caucus needs to talk to you. The big swinging Black Caucus needs to talk to you. The gay caucus, the whoever caucus, yeah, all the caucuses. Everyone's got to talk to you. All the groups have to talk to you, and you have to pretend like you're listening, and you have to pretend like you're concerned, even though you don't care. You have to pretend like you care because they vote, and they can get other people not to vote. And if you tell them, I'm busy, then they'll get busy getting people not to vote for you. So this is poor Bill Richardson. Bill Richardson, who represents New Mexico, looks, and I don't know what his nationality is, but he's one of those guys.
Juan Hernandez.
He's got that super big Mayan Indian head kind of thing, and he looks confused by technology. He's up on stage. It's like we thawed a caveman out and put him in front of a camera, and he doesn't know why he can see his image on a smaller screen. But he's sitting up there, and Melissa Etheridge has a question because, of course, she is the spokesperson for everyone who's ever had a same-sex experience. She's gay, and she has a guitar, so thus, she's the queen. She'll speak for all gay women. And she poses this question to Governor Bill Richardson.
Do you think homosexuality is a choice or is it biological?
It's a choice.
I don't know if you understand the question. A homosexual is born that way? Or do you think that around seventh grade we go, oh, I want to be gay?
You know, I'm not a scientist. Mm-hmm. I don't see this as an issue of science or definition.
You're gay for saying that.
These poor guys have to get up there and pretend to be interested and respectful. It's like, listen, Dyko, hop on that tractor lawnmower you took to get over here. Take your Birkenstocks, kickstart it, and just head back to Dykeville, would you please? I know that's what they're thinking. They're thinking, die, Dyke. Oh, God.
It sounded like he was racking his brain
for
the right answer. Didn't know what the right answer was.
Right. It's one of those things where you don't care, but someone is asking you a question, and it's like when the cop pulls you over and goes, you know why I pulled you over? And you're thinking, ugh.
Am I supposed to know or not know?
Would you please just go bother somebody else? But you think, ugh, I don't know, what do I say? No. If I say no, he's going to tell me. If I say yes, then he's going to issue me the ticket, and I should have known. Let's hope that cancer comes back. Not me. I didn't say that.
But Bill Richardson.
Bill Richardson is thinking, couldn't you have been claimed by breast cancer? Really? This is what you survived for to ruin my campaign?
I feel like she was trying to lead him in the right direction and go, but isn't it something you were born?
I don't think you understand.
She tried to help him out.
I know. Once in a while, I had a teacher that felt sorry for me and would give me that. You sure? You know, there's a reason why those number two pencils have erasers.
Right. Capital of California. Sure it's Fresno?
Maybe, well, it's A, B, or C.
Don't be a sack.
I think I have a idea. That's all I want
to
say.
You would like to be right.
Yeah, she was trying to lead him in the right direction, but the poor soul was lost and obviously didn't seem to care, although you have to pretend like you care. And here's all I'm saying. What percentage of our society is gay? How
they
much?
Say 10.
They do say
right.
10. That's the going.
They, the gays say 10.
The gays say 10.
Right. The Jews say 3.
Here's the gays man.
We are 3, yeah.
1% of society is gay, but the other 9% doesn't know they're gay or hasn't come to grips with the fact they're gay. There's no way that 10% of our society is gay. That is a mathematical impossibility.
Too much or too little?
Way, way too much. Way really? Too much. Way too
you
much.
Think Lynn and Alex are it?
They and Board Op Bill, which, by the way, combined, make a baker's dozen of gay. I don't know why. It seems like there's only 3 guys in the room.
Not when they're combined, because it's all fists and elbows.
10%. 10% is a huge number. You don't realize how big that number is. If 10% of the population were criminals, we would not have a society. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not that being gay is a criminal, but you know what I'm saying. 10% is a huge number. It doesn't sound like much, but it's huge. I know there's no way 10% of the populace is gay, but even if it was, do we need to talk about it so much? What's Melissa Etheridge care? What about the gay rights? Please just let them get married so they'll shut the F up and go away. That's all. And as far as whether you were born gay or are gay, who cares? Why is that such an issue? You know, we don't have that. I know why they're making it an issue, as if we can't blame people that were born a certain way. Like, hell, we can't.
Sure we can.
Sure we can. We do it all the time. As a matter of fact, it's most of what we do. When a guy is born and he's 3 foot tall, he gets made fun of for the rest of his life.
Right.
He didn't make himself a midget. He was born a midget. If you get born with a big nose or eyes are too close together or a horn in your and coming out of your forehead, you get it, baby.
Yep.
You, if you're fat, I mean, hell, that's a genetic thing most of the time. We never stop giving it to you. You're born... Ask the blacks what it's like to be born a certain way. Do you think we all give them a free pass? Oh, you just, you didn't want to be black? Oh, you were born black? I'm sorry. Take the noose off the tree, Frank. Let's keep moving.
Well, a good reason to court the gays is that they vote in higher numbers.
Yeah, they do.
Right.
So it makes sense. They're estimated to account for something like 4 to 6% of the U.S. electorate.
Right.
So you want to court them, although they all danced around the gay marriage issue.
Right.
Literally danced. Frolicked.
Right. It was more mincing than a dance. I'm just saying, look, everybody, whatever group you like to think you're part of, because there's a dynamic that goes on.
Yeah.
Because Melissa Etheridge wants to be persecuted. She wants to have that chip on her shoulder. She wants to walk around, oh, it's because I'm gay. Nobody cares. Play your guitar. Nobody cares. That's the reality. And the idea that you're born this way or not born this way is, again, neither here nor there. And here's the reality about being gay. I've said it once, said it many times. A large percentage of the gay populace is born gay, and the other half was created. This is the part they never talk about. They didn't just make a decision. Somebody made a decision for them. Some uncle molested them, and now they like guys. That's what happens all the time. Now, do you need to be born with a certain amount of capacity to go that way? Probably. Not sure. Maybe it's not a black and white thing. Maybe some guys are born 100% gay, and maybe they're guys like Brian that are born 110% gay. No, that are born 12% gay. Maybe Bonaducci.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
Maybe Bonaducci is 8% gay and I'm 9% gay. So if you're born under 20% gay and your uncle molests you, then maybe you don't go gay.
Right.
Yeah. But maybe if you're 25% gay and your uncle molests you, you go gay.
Right. But what about as a whole in a question? Because I had no idea you were going to. I'm sitting there nodding my head. Adam's on a roll. He's a genius. There we go. But then I can't tell at the end. What is your opinion for the generic, the umbrella of homosexuals? Are they born gay, or do they make a choice somewhere along the line to become gay? If they're 10%, let's go with 80% of that 10%. Did they choose it, or are they born that way?
I think 80% of them go that way, are born that way.
So do I. Okay.
Now, I'm talking about males.
Right.
Because I think women...
Oh, a couple of drinks, they're all out.
I think women are more flexible. All you,
2 weeks, I'm going to have Amy doing it with a girl.
All you need...
I can't believe that.
All... Isn't she already?
No.
All,
just close. Oh, shut up! You've been a dick all day, girl.
Danny did one of those, huh?
What? Spitting on the radio.
The ladies...
Three of his teeth and a cigarette popped out.
Danny shot a tooth and a butt at me. He was so outraged.
And then a cigarette.
Ah, good times. Called presenting. That's what Molly was doing in the bedroom. Yes, women can hate men so much that they can be with women. See, men, we love men so much we want to be with a man, but women can do a sort of relationship math, which is there are two choices. Either I can have sex with men or I can have sex with women. I hate all men, thus that leaves women, and what the hell. It'll be over in a few years. I'll just move along that direction. Guys don't really have that.
No,
when guys hate women, then we basically just turn into Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, we grudge at them.
We want to have a lot of sex with a lot of women. Right. Actually, we got to like us 101.
Right.
we get the broad strokes, and then we go to work. That's what guys who hate, that's what you do when you hate women.
And some women love their guy so much that, you know, toss a couple down and say, yeah, that girl's really cute. You always want to be okay. Just this once. This isn't going to be a regular thing, Dan.
Right.
You know, I mean, girls can just...
Sure.
Any gender that can hold hands and go to the bathroom together and not be whispered about while they're in there is two drinks away from doing each other.
Well, I'll do you one better. It's not just that we can go to the bathroom together.
Hurry.
It's that women breastfeed male and female children. Thus, it's in nature, inherently... that there's some kind of...
So they're dyking off with their own kid before their kid is even in
pampers. That's exactly my point.
Incestuous lesbos from, from the get-go. We used to call that maternal until Teresa got a hold of
it. You get my point.
Diternal.
My point is...
You're wasting Iraq. That's all
precedent,
I know.
There's a precedent in nature, so it's not as taboo.
Interesting.
Perhaps.
Interesting. It would be weird if the guys did the nursing...
That's what I'm saying.
But not on that part.
We've only got one place.
Be a weird thing to walk in on. Oh, hey, Danny, sorry.
No, just nursing.
Feeding the baby.
You know, I didn't feel like throwing a blanket over his head. I think you should be able to do in public places in the mall like anybody else.
Junior basketball league going.
Isn't Dante a little old?
You know, just because I'm nursing. No, he's actually in the perfect height. I don't have to hold him anymore.
Actually, in Europe, the males nurse until they're teens.
He can just walk right up, perfect height. You know, kids used to just come up and punch in them. Not anymore. Now they nurse.
Oh, sad and scatological. All I'm saying is please, everyone, stop breaking yourself off into groups. I know it's easy for me to say, but here's what I know. You are allowed, this beautiful country of ours has allowed you to not get married, but has allowed you to go out and make a bunch of money, get along, and live in a semi-judge-free environment. You claim you're being judged all the time, but really... Are you? And if you are, then who cares?
Yeah.
Again, it's like we live in a racist society that doesn't do much about
it.
So who cares?
Yeah. If you're going, I'm gay, and Danny is judging me going, he's gay. That's exactly what I'm doing. But that's the full extent of what I'm doing. I'm going, huh, he's gay.
Right. Danny's not hitting you with a flathead shovel and dragging you out into the woods and kicking your ass.
I'm buying you a drink at the Abbey because you guys dress like me.
Well, what about if Lynn and Alex are together another 40 years and one of them is sick and the other one can't visit him in the hospital or they can't inherit each other's property?
Yeah. I'm down with the union part.
There you go. The union's good.
Board up, Bill, yes.
As the only true gay in the group, I really wanted to say that sometimes you need to have the marriage because, you know, people who are retarded can get married.
Mm-hmm.
People who are of a different race can get married. And that's the main thing is we want to get married
you
because
want,
it's...
I want rights as a retarded black man.
Right, exactly. We want to be afforded the exact rights, at least up to there, please.
Right. You and your boyfriend should be able to own a home together.
Yeah. No, he doesn't make enough money, but I should be able to afford the home and pass it on after
I
die.
And it's one of these things that I would just love to scream to the man about, which is, look, don't you think 50 years from now this will be legal? You know what I mean? I always talk about this.
50 years ahead.
Someone should have gotten hold of all the politicians in the South and beyond in the 50s and 60s and said, do you really think we're going to have two drinking fountains 50 years from now? Do you really think we're going to be flying around in hovercrafts like the Jetsons and there's going to be a black counter and a white counter? Do you really think this is not? And they would have, if they use that math, if you go ahead in the future, then you realize. You see, it is about history, especially if you're a politician. They don't understand that. We look back at the Abe Lincolns of the world, and they get a nice tip of the cap.
Damn right they do.
And there's plenty of politicians where we're like, I'd like to dance on that puke's grave, because he didn't see the future. This is the future. It's going to be legal. Let's just do it now and quit arguing about it. And by the way, I only want to do it to shut the gays up. I'm not really interested.
I don't care either way about almost anything.
I'm not interested in being fair. I just want to shut them up.
I want sex and money.
That's it. All right. We need to take a break. I want you all to call in. I'll tell you this. You can tell it. If you don't think it should be legal, the union, the gay union, the marriage between gays.
Civil union.
I don't want to hear the people that are for it. I want you to make a compelling argument as to why it shouldn't be. Nice. I have some thoughts about why it shouldn't be. I'll share with you as well. I am somewhat torn on this. I will hear that. Also, if you're gay, I want to know if you're born gay or made gay or what you think about that or why it's so important as it is to Melissa Etheridge all know you're born gay.
1-866-901-ADAM. Adam was here from the guys. That's an interesting choice, man, that think that you're against gay unions. That's who you want to call.
But make a compelling argument.
Yeah, don't be an idiot.
We're like, homos are weird, so they shouldn't be.
Yeah. I don't want any of that. I want
smart as somebody in this room.
I want a good argument, and I will give you my semi-controversial argument as to why they shouldn't be allowed to be married either.
Ballsy.
Next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Do you take a firm stance against gay marriage? Adam wants to hear from you. Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I really have some possibly compelling arguments as to why the gays shouldn't get married. I have one. I'll share it with you at the end of the segment. Now, again, we live in a society where everything's black and white. You have to be pro or against everything. But I'm torn. I got to say, for most everything, I'm more 70-30% or 60-40. It's not black and white to me. Overall, I would love gays to be able to get married. But I have a couple ideas, a couple arguments as to why they shouldn't. I'll share those with you. But first, let's start with Steve. Steve?
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think that gays are born, you know, born gay, because a criminal goes to prison and he takes it, he's not going to become gay, I don't think.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's going to become outraged and popular.
Right.
Speaking of
criminal, just quickly, there are criminals that end up murdering people because they were horribly abused, and then there are people who end up murdering people just because they were born a bad seed. We still want to lock them both up or fry both of them. I don't understand why society thinks we're going to give the gays a pass when we all agree they were born that way. Thank you.
Yeah. That was that compelling part.
We will still hate the gays just as much, believe you me. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
All right. No problem. My other thing is it's insurance. You know, if Neil and Bob get married and Bob's got AIDS, Bob's going to go and get all of his medication through Neil's insurance. Hence, you and I, rates increase.
Well, but if anyone wants to go get insurance, they do a blood test. They want to know if you're a smoker. They have all sorts of questions. And even if Bob is straight, if Bob has hepatitis C, Bob's going to have trouble getting insured. So I'm sure the insurance company will work that one out.
Okay. I'd just like to point out, does anybody know, and I don't think our caller even knows, what a homophobe he is because of the Freudian thing I just heard. Did you hear it?
What, Neil and Bob?
Neil and Bob are both verbs as well as names.
Right.
Yeah, what, so when Neil and Bob, and I don't think you knew you did that. I think you, sir, are a homophobe and don't even know it.
I disagree, Danny. I love gay guys. Hey, they can buy me a drink and probably the best BJ I'll ever get.
Good, yeah, maybe too, buddy. You and I should hang. Let's go bedazzle something and go drink him with some Moe's. Right on.
Good, good times. All right, so Steve's argument was insurance. Not sure how compelling that is.
I didn't care for that.
Kurt?
That was fun.
You?
Why shouldn't the gays get married?
You know, I don't think it really matters if they get married or not. I don't know why we worry about the semantics of the word marriage. Why not form a corporation or an LLC? It's the same thing. You're partners, right? So just do that, and you can get all the privileges that those, well, let's say, quote-unquote privileges that those, you know, give you.
Well, I think the deal is they pay their taxes probably more than their fair share. I mean, if you look at the gays... Well, let's go the opposite of the gays. You have the heterosexual couple. They're crapping out the kids. They're using the system like hell. Their kids are all filling up the public schools.
Right.
They're using all the assistance and all the things that the government has to offer. They're essentially wringing the government dry. The gays, they feed the pot. They don't take from the pot too much.
Right.
They're busy working and recycling.
Right.
They don't use what the straight guy uses, what the hetero couple uses. I would love someone to go ahead and fund this study. Your average gay couple.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's going to get a number they can have assigned to them in terms of what you put in versus what you take out. Now, that's how our society works. The day we have more people taken out than we do putting in is the day we implode on ourselves as a society. That's how it works. The lion's share of the people put in, and then there's Charles Manson. And we all have to put in a little extra so we can catch him, so we can try him, and so we can keep him locked up and the rest of his family. That's an extreme example, but you know what I'm saying. I would like a number assigned, and I would love society to work that way. I've screamed many times, I don't want a parking ticket. The reason I shouldn't get a parking ticket is because I'm in the goddamn Platinum Club. All I do is pay goddamn taxes, and I never use an effing thing. I've never been through court. I've never called 911. I've never been into that place where they hide the books.
Library.
What's that?
Library.
Library. That's right. Never been to that place. I don't have anyone in the school district. I've never knocked over a lamppost with my car. I've never called the fire department. I've never done anything. I've never drawn, but I've paid millions of dollars into the company. So if I'm walking around, I'm at the platinum level.
Right. Oh, yeah.
What is, and again, if everyone in society was like me, well, then every school would be six stories with an elevator, and we'd have Harvard professors teaching everywhere. We'd be living, the streets would be polished. It would wink at you. They would sparkle because it'd be nothing but money going in, no money heading out. The average gay couple, I will bet the average gay couple puts in twice as much as the average hetero couple.
That's who you want to sell your house to.
Yes. Not only do you have two incomes, but you have two male incomes, and you have two gale incomes. That's gay males.
And in West Hollywood, for the most part, you have two white male incomes.
And
that's the big money over there.
The word hustler not only pertains to them turning a trick on the street, but what they do in business. Those folks hustle, and then they don't have the 2.7 kids that are sucking off the teat of the system, that are going through the thing, that are getting, you know, how many gay couples are on financial assistance from the government?
Food stamps or Section 8 housing.
Are you kidding? And imagine how beautiful the projects would look if they were just gays.
It's not a bad idea.
You go picture all the heteros living in all the projects in the south side of Chicago. Now picture a gay project. Woo-wee.
Yeah, it's called the Castro in the neighborhood where I grew up. It's gorgeous.
That's right. Obviously, the average gay couple contributes more than the average hetero couple. And for that reason alone, they should be rewarded. All right, let's do one more. Angel has an idea. Hmm. And whenever someone named Angel has an idea, you better listen. It's going to be good. Angel?
Yeah.
Especially when the dude is named Angel. Angel, what's the idea with the gays getting married?
Well, I just think, first of all, I don't think it's a bad idea for gays to get married. It's pretty good for them if they get it done. But it's just that if you got two couples, two dudes, two guys, mostly income, they're going to be bringing them more money than a regular couple would.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, if you look at it, like 10, 20 years down the road, if a lot of couples are doing this, gay couples, they would be bringing more income than regular couples would.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, in a way, they would be ruling the world, ruling cities even.
Oh.
By the way, that exact expression pretty much cost Daryl Gates his job as police chief.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm.
So when they were talking about African American died in a chokehold, and you know, and all he said was, and I believe accidentally, maybe the way they're structured in the throat area is different from normal people. He said it just like that, like that guy did. But he meant black people when he said normal people as opposed to white people.
Right.
I will, well, who the hell wants to be a normie?
Yeah, not me.
I will,
I work hard.
I will finish this little segment by stating my opposition to the gay marriage. Overall, I'm for it. If I had to vote, I would say yes. Let them do it and then let them shut up and all the groups. My plan is let them do whatever it is they want to do, and then please shut up. That's all I want is for Melissa Etheridge to shut up, and the poor politicians to shut up, too. I was sitting down with one of the great minds, a guy who was the editor-in-chief of the Los Angeles Times.
Wow.
About 10 years ago. He was not second in command. He was the guy over there, and he was one of my private boxing students. But I liked him, and he liked me, and we used to hang out a little bit. And we were having lunch, and we were just talking politics, and he knew quite a bit about politics. And he was in Washington for quite some time, so he knew quite a bit about it and in the newspaper business. And I was telling him, why don't we just, you know, what's wrong with legalizing pot? I like pot. Pot should be legal. Why are we arguing about pot being legal? Let people smoke pot if they want to smoke pot. And he said, yes, but do you want to live in the society where pot is legal? And I said, well, it wouldn't harm anything. I don't think there'd be a problem. The people that smoke, smoke already. And he says, yes, but sort of as a society on your society's resume. Pot legal? And I thought, oh, all right. I kind of get your point that I don't think pot's harmful. I think it's fine. It's no big deal. But I did kind of understand, like, your kids in this society, so on and so forth. And I kind of feel that way with the gay marriage, which is, don't mind the gays. They should be afforded the same rights that the heterosexual couples have and all that kind of stuff. But I do feel almost the same way I feel about pot, which is, I don't know how it looks on our resume. I do miss that sort of, as retarded and as oppressed as it was, I do kind of miss that 50s happy couple. Girls wore dresses and guys wore long pants and people dressed up to fly and wore blazers. And there was that sort of civility and a sort of whatever. Yeah. And maybe I'm just waxing nostalgic. Mm. But I did kind of have that thing where it's like, yes, I want gays to be able to get married, but no, I don't really like it on the resume.
Okay. But I don't think you're waxing nostalgic on the same subject. I like that when you said dressing up to get on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the theater not long ago in New York, Broadway, full on. And I dressed up, and there was a guy across the aisle, but the next seat, in sweats and tennis shoes.
Ironically gay.
And I hated him for it. I just hated him. It wrecked a little of it for me that I bothered to dress to go to the theater. I just hated it. But if we're men wearing hats and dressing up to get on the airplane, and two men are also dressed up and they just happen to be gay, that doesn't wreck the nostalgic vibe you're giving me. I still like it.
Yeah.
The manicured lawns, the guy leaving his wife at the doorway, giving her a little kiss goodbye, knowing exactly what time he'll be home and dinner's going to be ready on the table with his favorite cocktail made. If when he gets home, the guy making your dinner and favorite cocktails, your other guy, I'm still cool with what you're waxing about.
I think civility and old-fashioned manners and family values, I'm with you. I love all of that. I don't see why it can't exist among same-sex
couples. Oh, it can. Dude. I don't mean it goes away. I just mean there was a time in our society where you couldn't discuss smoking weed, you couldn't discuss being gay, and there was no Britney Spears cooch shots all over the internet. And we're now sliding into a kind of let your freak flag fly, do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. Let it let it flow, baby. And I don't, I got two kids that are a year old, and I'm not so sure that I want video of them getting it on with their roommates on YouTube in 16 years. And they're just, I'm not talking, I think you guys are misinterpreting just a little bit. Okay. I'm just saying there is a part of me that wants to take that horse and it's out. Never get it back.
The barn's on fire, man.
But there is that part of me that misses that sort of crap. Maybe just because I'm a white guy. And it's like, hey, things were cool for me in the 50s, even though I wasn't born, but that's when I did my greatest living. Yeah, I just don't. There is a sort of game on thing where you get to say whatever you want to any woman, where you get to get with a celebrity and talk to Pat O'Brien about what a slut she is. This sort of just game on that I would like to reel in a little. I feel like gay marriage and pot legalization, for that reason, are two of those things that the people that want to reel it in are trying to hang on to.
Right.
You're an articulate bastard, which I am not, apparently. You know, that those are reasonable and compelling arguments, but they're 20% tops of your real argument. You could do 80% better if this moment was about you telling us why you should allow it.
No, I am. And I would. And if I was a politician, I'd say I would vote for gay unions or gay marriages. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. News when we come back, T.
Well, Angelina Jolie is talking about S&M. Is she still into it? And a new reality show with one of our friends, Stephen Baldwin.
Oh, it's one of
the worst you've ever, ever heard of.
Celebrity Blowhard Club. We'll take a quick break. Be back next.
August, a discussion of fashion in the 90s, including the grunge look and the Rachel haircut. At 6:30 on Style, be sure to miss Clean House. The pack rat brother of comic David Alan Greer gets help organizing from the Clean House team. And at 8 on NFL Network, definitely don't watch the National Championship of Flag Football, live from Orlando. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I saw that one with Dag's brother, the pack rat.
Hey, Adam.
Rerun. T.
Yes.
The news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
There's a company called Futura Medical, and if the claims they're making are true, they could be in for a lot of money. They say they've developed a condom that can make men firmer and larger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called the garden hose.
And longer lasting, and they say their condom will help you maintain your engorgement.
Dude, can I tell you how stupid that is?
Please.
You just get basically the same stuff a waterproof surf shirt is made out of. Roll it down your hoosets, or whatever won't let any fluid through.
Right.
Roll it down your hoosets. Yeah. Not only are you firmer, harder, and thicker, but you will get almost no sensation. Therefore, you won't finish till you really feel like it.
Well, here's what
the dumbest thing I ever heard.
They put a small amount of gel in these condoms
with lidocaine in it
that dilates the arteries and increases blood flow to the penis. They're going to be test marketed by Durex, which is a well-known condom company. Market research has shown that 80% of current condom users would be interested in trying them.
Wrap enough duct tape around it.
Yeah,
it's thicker, longer, and it'll take you longer.
First scientists go, you work on a solution to drunk masturbating, not this.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Most guys who are with a woman are with a woman, thus they need the condom, thus they can achieve the erection.
Right.
But when you're going for the deuce after a six-pack on a night.
You mean a doubleheader.
Calf cramp city. That's right. That's all I'm saying. I just want the world scientists to get to work on the real problems men face.
Yeah. Okay. And what did you say when you started that? You said, here's my thought. What do you say when you start?
I don't know.
Well, whatever he said, I say it too. Here's my thought.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, if it involves a man's penis, we figured it out by ourselves way before a doctor got involved.
Right. You rub some Bengay down there.
Whatever it is, we got involved in it. First thing you try if you're having premature problems, which I did in my youth, totally, I tried two condoms at a time. that actually worked very well for me, but I was told that wearing two condoms actually breaks them. That never happened to me, but I've been told since I mentioned on the air. But there's a thousand solutions to all these problems. If you don't have a medical condition and you just want thicker and to last longer, you do a million things.
Right.
You put something flexible and hard in the end of the condom. Done. Just finish a little sensation. You'll last long. You'll
like
last all day.
A paper clip? A
couple of pipe cleaners.
Literally anything you want. A piece of carpet. I don't care. A patch about the size of Hitler's mustache right over the most sensitive part of your unit. Mm-hmm. And there you go.
This is news you can use.
Damn right it is.
Well, let's say
two popsicle sticks, couple of zip ties. Yeah.
Okay, now you got a splint, basically.
Right.
There you go.
A lanyard.
Hog splint.
Now, things that are also useful when masturbating, perhaps, images of Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
She, in the past, as you may have heard, has had lots of sexual fetishes, including knife play, S&M. But now, she's done an interview with a French magazine called Public. And she's now saying that she's not really so freaky anymore. Here's what she said. I've never hidden my bisexuality, but since I've been with Brad, there's no longer a place for that or S&M in my life. So Brad has now taken the place of being with women and knife play.
You know, I turn everything about me. Here we go. Amy, my 25-year-old girlfriend, are you into anything weird that people do? And I'm thinking stuff I've heard of. And she's like, knife play or anything like that. And I went, what the hell is that? I never even heard of it. Now, Amy's not all that experienced, but she knows what knife play is. It's the thing people do today. Do you even know what it is?
Knife play.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Some kind of dangerous sex.
To racist people, that's when you put an extra schmear on the bagel.
Yeah.
Right after it.
Or the Moyle's
been
drinking.
Right after you make love through a sheet. Yeah, I don't
know. The Moyle's been drinking. I don't know knife play.
I don't know what knife play. I don't know.
I think that's
about we have a little tiny thing that we do. We just bought it yesterday. It was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. She keeps me on a short leash, so we bought one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was just kind of funny. We watched porn last night, and I wore a short leash. It was kind of funny.
It's cute.
Yeah, it was cute. That's all. It was like a real knife play. Mm. What the hell is that?
Remember I spoke earlier about needing some extra help masturbating?
Yeah.
You're going to
really going to need some help now.
You're going to think about me, Amy, on a short leash?
Danny on a short leash watching porn.
I barked and stuff, too, just for fun.
Oh, no.
That's funny. We laughed.
There goes the weekend, Bonaducci.
Sorry.
How are you going to neutralize the effects of that image?
There was more.
Ain't enough kitty litter in the world to dry up that oil slick.
Let me close on this, which also has to do with Danny Bonaducci.
I'll bet.
I know you hate talking about yourself, but...
Yeah, no, please.
There's a new show premiering on CMT tonight, and it's called Celebrity Bull Riding.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They take folks
has-beens. It's a has-been show.
Stephen Baldwin, he gets hurt on tonight's episode. He gets bucked.
You know what? Yeah, I'm not on that.
Why? Rodeo.
Jack Silver would not let me because we couldn't find a place for me to broadcast, and it's 100 G's if he went.
Really?
And Jack wouldn't let me do it.
Well,
I mean, I agree with him completely. This is my real job.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, this will pay me more than $100,000.
Sure.
I can't believe God let Stephen get bucked off a horse.
That's true.
He really was dialed in with God.
I thought if he got bucked off, he'd just keep going right up to heaven.
To heaven. Guys. I thought so, too.
Yeah.
God's really mean.
He's got a crazy
Anybody
sense
ever
of humor.
A guy named Job?
Yes.
Dude, he gives him boils, his kids die, his business collapse, and God thinks it's a bet. God does it as a bet.
Job's the sixth Baldwin. They rarely talk about
Baldwin.
Job Baldwin.
You can also see Leif Garrett and Vanilla Ice on Celebrity Bull Riding.
What they do, just duct tape Leif to the bull?
I think they use
rope. You know what? Because I've worked with him and had him nod out in mid-sentence.
Yes.
But he won Celebrity Fear Factor once.
Right, because he was passed out.
I wasn't afraid of anything. No, when you just said this earlier, when you really need the dope money, you can do anything.
Well,
so Leif actually won, and I guess got the dope money. Is my guess. Leif finds none of this funny, and he's a huge pain in the ass.
Well, we'll see how he does tonight with the bull. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Well, good news, kiddies. Chad Johnson.
From the Bengals, huh?
Number 85 from the Bengals.
One of my favorite
teams.
One
of the greatest wide receivers in the NFL is on the show next. He's got a little touchdown celebration competition that he wants to talk about. I have filmed myself doing what is the greatest touchdown celebration of all time. Yes. Yes, the best.
Really?
The best. The most controversial. If anybody, I'll try to talk Chad Johnson into it. If he did that in the end zone, you know, look, when Terrell Terrell Davis. No, wait, Terrell Owens. Yeah, when he pulled out a Sharpie and signed a ball, yeah, everyone went nuts. Once in a while, a guy rubs his ass on the goalpost or something. This would be on the cover of every newspaper the following morning if anyone did this. I'll share that dance with you. And go to AdamCarolla.com and see it. We filmed it. See it for yourself. But Chad Johnson next.
Now back to Adam, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, what a shocker. Flaky athlete. Huh? Not heard of that before.
And look at the shirt I'm wearing.
Oh, he's wearing his Bengals shirt, his bedazzled Bengals shirt. Back. Yeah, Bengals, was it? I can't see. Is it 31?
I don't know. What's
yeah, name? Maybe that's Icky Woods' number.
Icky Woods, I think.
Do the Icky Shuffle.
How weird is this?
Put that video on our site.
Some designer that I ran into let me come into his shop and just started loading me up with pants and T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just going through the bag this morning. Oh, by the way, I should probably give him some kind of plug. What's it say?
It says...
Master Vintage or something?
Master Vintage.
Master Vintage.
It's a nice shirt.
Gave me like... five pairs of $300 jeans and a bunch of these T-shirts, and one of them was this rhinestone bangle shirt just by coincidence. It was in a bag this morning. I just picked it up, put it on. I come in here, not that I don't do my research, and I hear for the first time there's a bangle on.
Yeah.
I was very excited.
It is what you call kismet, and it would be a coincidence if he did actually come on the show. Yeah. Now, Chad Johnson is going to be on the show, but he's pushed back about 10 or 15 minutes. So we'll talk amongst ourselves, and then we'll bring him in after the break.
I got nothing to say. You, Carolla?
Has an end zone dance. I'm dry. He has an end zone dance competition. If you go to AdamCarolla.com, can see me doing what would be the most controversial end zone dance ever. It'd be the biggest fines, but it'd be the funniest thing that ever happened in a football game. T.
Yes.
I'll tell you what we should do.
Yeah.
First, we should, speaking of news, play my CNN clip. Mm. It's another CNN clip I saw yesterday morning, which is one of my pet peeves. It may fly over your head when you hear it at first blush, but just listen carefully, and I think you'll understand.
Nothing like this is right. It was part of a quick but intense storm that literally brought the city to its knees, paralyzing the subway system, stranding millions of morning commuters.
Literally brought the city to its knees.
Oh.
Does that kind of thing bother you?
It does, because...
it
does,
obviously, it didn't literally bring the city of New York. Tornado, was it?
Whatever.
Touched out
flood.
In the Bronx.
Yes, it didn't... No, here's why we need the word literally, so people know we mean this is what happened. It's the one you get to use. We're the boy who cried literally.
Right. No, I am with you on
this. You're literally a millionaire.
I'm literally a millionaire, and I don't want people to think I'm not, but now we overuse the word literally. No,
I was a millionaire literally 3 weeks ago.
By the way, you were literally homeless.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was.
Not couch surfing.
Right. So when I talk to people and you want to tell them your story and you say I was literally homeless, we're now used to virtually sort of being literally.
Does he mean
you want, right? No, you want a word that says this, and you don't want to go, dude, I'm not kidding.
Right.
Which is what you have to do now.
Now, of course, I am your biggest fan and only speak highly of you, but let's just assume I hated you and somebody said, hey, what's Carolla like? Mm-hmm. It'd be, this drives me crazy because people think you can say this. Carolla, are you kidding? He literally has horns growing out of his head.
Right.
That's just to express hate.
I literally jumped out of my skin.
Yeah, no, you didn't. And no, he doesn't.
Right.
I hate that. You know what else I hate? That they say, I try not to say it, but it's in our commercials all the time, and it's on the news all the time. And if you act now, you'll get this for free. Mm-hmm. No such animal is for free. It's either free or it's not. It's for something or it's free. There's no for free.
Yeah, I'd love to correct that, but I'm the guy who says is three times.
But I think you're right.
I don't.
That is. That is not.
Well, even if I'm right, it's just on a technicality.
And only because I read Flowers for Algernon.
It's not right because I'm smart. It's right because I'm so dumb. Once in a while, you're so dumb that you can actually be right.
That's what your new billboard should say. American dumbass who got lucky.
So dumb, he's actually right.
Well, I was going to tell you about a show that's so dumb that it is right.
Mm.
Have you heard about this TV Land show, Back to the Grind?
Mm-mm.
Okay, they take former sitcom stars.
That's my stomping ground, too, man.
Mm-hmm. I know. They take former sitcom stars, of which you are one, and they train them to take on the jobs that their characters performed on TV.
Total check. Bass lessons right there.
Eric Estrada becomes a CHP officer.
That's exactly the idea now. Bea Arthur from Golden Girls.
Becomes an old dyke.
Well, she used to be a teacher on Golden Girls. So she trained, and the first thing she had to do was take her SATs. And apparently it didn't go well. You've got to hear this.
I found myself weeping because I felt so inadequate. I was drained. Not only was I drained, I was slightly suicidal.
Yeah, see, she's one of the many people we're talking about the roasts earlier. Who shouldn't show up at the roast because she will have Jeff Ross standing up there going, Courtney Love's so ugly, I wouldn't F her with B. Arthur's penis.
Yeah.
And then B. Arthur gets nailed as well as Courtney Love, but at least Courtney's so high she doesn't know it.
But neither of those two are getting roasted.
And they're not even the two that are getting roasted. Hefner's getting roasted.
How about Ed Begley making the rounds as a doctor? Begley Jr.
Oh, really?
I heard him yesterday on Frosty, Frank, and Heidi.
He was probably pimping Back to the Grind.
I don't know what he was pimping, but side electric cars and stuff like that. But, yeah, he was on there yesterday. So this isn't a bad idea.
Saint Elsewhere was his
I think that's right,
yeah.
See, you want to know what a hack I am? If I didn't get on it as one of the guys, I will volunteer to be Ed Begley's first patient and let him take my appendix out. As long as it pays union scale.
That'd be good radio. We'll save that for sweeps.
Thanks, buddy.
Why don't we take a five-minute break?
Yes, we do need to take a quick break. Chad Johnson.
Ah.
Ocho Cinco? Yeah. Man's been fined over $100,000.
Oh, I love him already.
And it was probably 5-10 grand at a time.
Oh.
Chad Johnson next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Chad Johnson, after beating a horse in a foot race for charity.
You know, I was thinking about tackling everybody at the top of each sport. You know, right now, Floyd is the best in boxing, so I'm thinking about sparring with Floyd pound for pound. He's one of the best for pound for pound. I'm one of the best at what I do. And, you know, I would love to come to his sport and probably he'll end up just like the horse.
And now Chad Johnson on the Adam Carolla Show.
The thing about when the guys race the horses, we do this every once in a while.
Yep.
First off, seems sort of racist in its own way. It's got the word race right in it, if you think about it. Now, the other thing is the horse never exactly knows when to start.
Right, that's true.
There's always a guy who's sitting on the horse, and the horse is always sort of sideways on the starting line because the horse is like, what the F?
Why is this man here?
Why am I racing a black guy wearing spandex? I'm supposed to be racing other horses. So the horse never knows what to do, and then the brother takes off, and then they yell at the horse, get going. But the brother gets a little lead.
Yeah, how long's the race, though? Because if it's anything over 50 feet, I've lost.
It's 1 furlong. It's 220
yards. Yeah, 220 yards.
By the way, it's a great story, but Chad Johnson got a 100-meter head start.
Oh, we got a 100-meter?
Yeah. It's a great story, but it's...
I assumed that, but I was...
It's apocryphal.
He got a 100-meter head start.
He literally got a 100-meter head
start. Chad Johnson, by the way, is... we're killing a little time while he comes up on the phone. He's got himself a little touchdown celebration showdown. It's an end zone dance competition. You submit your 30-second video to your it's the celebration of your dance. I think Chad ought to do it in a game. That's what they ought to have. Whoever wins the end zone celebration competition, Chad should honor them by doing it out on the field. He's going to score. Well, let's see. He scored, it says here, 41 touchdowns in 6 seasons, so he's up around 15 or so a season. He'll do that this year. Just make one of the 15 the winner. And by the way, it's got to be a good one, otherwise it wouldn't have won.
I like the way this guy wants to compete at everybody's sport.
Yes.
If they're the best.
I wish someone was the best at calling in our effing show, and he wanted to beat them at that.
Yeah,
well,
that'd be nice.
Okay, it's not that I'm not a sports fan, which I'm not. I happen to be wearing a like probably $300 bedazzled Bengals shirt, but it's just because somebody gave it to me. But I want you to know this is not because I'm a sports fan. I'm an Adam Carolla fan.
Yeah. Ooh.
I say dump him.
Mm-hmm.
He's rude now.
You dump Michael Moore and...
Yeah, I say dump him. He's rude.
You dump Man Coulter.
Ah, yes,
I say even if the guy calls, all you do is let me talk to him if he calls. Awesome, dude, you're rude. Sorry, you're not on the Carolla show.
Well...
And then I'll say my name's Gay Board Up Bill.
the whole problem with the take it out on the guy is sometimes
the
it's them being a flake, and then sometimes it's their publicist or their posse that is screwed up, and you never know who it is.
That's
so
true.
I just hear the first few syllables, and if they come across rude like Man Coulter did, then we'll hang up on their ass.
Apparently he's on Jim Rome. And hence he can't be with us.
No, well, that's almost reasonable.
I will be guest hosting for Jim Rome.
Oh, when?
Really?
I'm going to be doing it, I think, next Tuesday. I'll be hosting his TV show.
Oh, he has a TV show, right.
Yes.
Are you sitting in with him, or are you here?
No, I'll be hosting the show.
Cool. I think all of us are doing real television. You're hosting because Jim's out, right?
I evidently. You know what I thought? Once in a while, I get these sort of Tourette's-like thoughts.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, if I host Jim Rome's show and Jim Rome's not there and doing his TV show, my first statement should be, well, Jim is, and I should fight the tears.
Yes.
It'd be balls.
Finally lost his battle with AIDS. Anyway, let's talk hockey.
How about this? And then just to be poignant, you go, Death had a take and it didn't suck.
That's right.
Wow. You're good.
So, Death did have a take. It did not suck.
If I weren't just pretending I know who the hell Jim Rome is, I would jump in right in with the comedy.
That's his catchphrase.
Let's put it this way. You say 49 words for every one of his syllables. Jim Rome is one of these radio guys. What do you got here? You got something? Oh. Jim Rome will be like, Bud Selig. Okay.
No.
Let me tell you what I think of Bud Selig. Good commish. Knows the ball game, but doesn't know his own limitations. One Mississippi.
Three Mississippi. Frighteningly accurate.
Really?
Yeah, and I like the guy.
Then why am I upset that I don't know who he is and I feel like I can't play along?
I got a take on Bud Selig.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Jim Rome's still on?
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe it.
He does not suck.
Is Jim Rome in a commercial or is he still on?
No, he's on. That was us just chatting away.
Oh. I got a 60-second live spot to do in 20 minutes.
All right.
Not 20 minutes from now.
Budweiser?
Yeah.
King?
Of what? I wonder.
Huh.
What?
Bear. Ears.
Barriers?
Budweiser, king of ears.
I never heard anybody break down one syllable before.
he's really good. He just takes his dramatic pauses. Artistic license, I think they call it.
When our callers call in, they usually get out about three words, and then we check. His callers do a complete soliloquy from Hamlet.
I know.
That's true.
He lets them say their piece.
Now, I think we've all gotten much better at this, but sometimes early on, you'd hear this big dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, Teresa Strasser and the news. And that's the last we'd hear of you.
2 hours later, you'd hear me laughing in the background.
You go, how about we take that call, you
bad times. All right. Well, it looks like Ocho Cinco himself is not going to make the show.
You dumb Bonaducci said he'll kick his ass the very season.
I will, but I probably won't see him. We will take ourselves a break. He's going to be on in 20 seconds.
What do we do?
Exactly the time it's time to take a break. Yeah. What do? We go to AdamCarolla.com.
Adam, this is radio.
And we see the lemonade that I literally squeezed out of my ass. We'll take a... No, it's not. Forget it.
Oh, no.
Shine him.
Just yell at him and... No?
It's like, I like the guy.
Well, let's find out his excuse.
We have 30 seconds.
All right.
Make it good.
That's locked up. Listen, we got to go. We'll be back. Yeah, well, guess who's on the phone? Ocho Cinco himself, Chad Johnson. Great wide receiver for the Bengals. We have about 30 seconds, Chad.
What's up?
Good to speak to you, Chad.
What's going on?
I know we got our wires crossed, and so we'd love to have you back on the show for an extended period of time. We only have about 30 seconds here. Chad, would you do me a favor?
Yes, sir.
Would you go to adamcarolla.com and see my touchdown dance? I mean it, Chad. Chad,
I'll be sure to do that.
You are a star right now, but you would be a superstar if you did my end zone dance in the end zone. But please do it at a home game. You'll be killed otherwise. Chad Johnson, how's this, very quickly, how's this touchdown celebration showdown work?
Well, you can submit your celebrations at yahoosports.com, and you know, whoever's the best and the most creative, I probably would use it, you know, throughout the season in one of my celebrations.
All right, so the winner will get to watch TV and see Chad Johnson doing their celebration, their end zone celebration.
Most definitely. And, I think I'm going to be able to meet that person also, if I'm not wrong. So, I mean, it'll be fun. And I'm also working with fantasy football this year. So everyone who plays fantasy football, you got to draft me number one. If I'm the poster child, that means I don't have a choice but to score week in and week out.
Right.
And I may like him again.
All you guys are involved with your fantasy napping and masturbating league?
Yeah.
I'd like to go top 10 this year as well.
No!
I'm a perennial all-pro, but I'd like to be number one with Chad. Chad Johnson, thank you very much. Go to sports.yahoo.com and vote or submit your end zone dance. Thanks, Chad. We need to take an extendo break. Danny, quick piece of business.
Oh, yeah. I'll just say real quick, the movie Wild Hogs with Tim Allen and Martin Lawrence is coming to DVD. And if you want to go on a quick Harley ride tomorrow, speaking of Wild Hogs, I'm going up to Power Honda in Valencia just to say thanks. They supplied some cars for my TV show. So I'm taking a ride. If you guys want to MySpace me, we'll ride up on our Harleys up to Valencia. Just go to MySpace. We'll do it. And don't forget, August 14th, Wild Hogs comes out on DVD.
So go for a ride with Bonaducci tomorrow. And when you're done with the ride, ride the hog over to Van Nuys. Go to Home Depot and see how beautiful Teresa Strasser is. Do them both. You got a motorcycle. You're in the neighborhood. That starts at 11 o'clock. Also, a TV water cooler tonight, 8 p.m. Chad Johnson, Lisa Lampanelli next Saturday at the Wiltern, and Cuba Gooding Jr.
Let's give credit where credit is due, and a thank you to Adam
Day Camp. And thank you, Bonaducci. Good week, all. Yeah. Until next week, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Bonaducci is 8% gay, and I'm 9% gay.